Today.com. Tomorrow's news today.
And now, our feature presentation.
It's Friday, folks. Got a huge transmission lined up for you today, the 24th day of July 2026.
Nice little smoochy, smoochy, kissy, kissy. You know you can't resist me.
Stop it, horn dog. I want to see this.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
You activated
the Great Reset! You maniacs! You blew it up! God damn you! Damn you all to hell!
The Alex Jones Show, the most banned broadcast on the planet.
That was awesome!
It was okay, I guess. Can we f*** now?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It is Friday, July 24th, 2026. I am your battle-hardened chronic alert host, Alex Jones, coming to you from the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com is the coordinates of the resistance. And here's video of them yesterday. The Senate could not pass the War Powers Resolution to restrict Trump without getting a declaration of war from Congress. And so the measure failed 47 to 49. And also, as you know, passing the House, now going to the Senate, is Israel literally merging, synchronizing, and co-owning our weapon systems. And Ben Shapiro and other Israeli operatives are out in overtime damage control trying to convince the public that this is no big deal and nothing's happening, though. The public is really, really upset, and we'll be looking at some of their reactions and what this is really going to mean if it passes the Senate. Roger Stone is joining us in 30 minutes from now. He hadn't been on in a few months. He's got big news on the midterms, the internal polling, the Iran war, all the things that are happening, the Democratic Socialist, and more. So, had been on a while, got a lot of big news. Coming up at about T-minus, exactly, 30 minutes from now, 33 after, we come on a break. Roger Stone will be joining us to cover the waterfront. Should be extremely, extremely informative. We'll also open the phones up yet again today and take your phone calls, but not just for military and veterans, but their take on the Iran, Russia, New World War, spiraling out of control, but just in general, on the state of the country and the world and what you're seeing out there in the streets, crime-wise, inflation-wise, and your view on where we go forward. Because I told you this is clear, and now it's admitted. Washington Post reports knives are out for Vance in the GOP, as allies say it's a coordinated op. Well, it's the Israel lobby is coming for J.D. Vance because he dared stand up for a little bit of our sovereignty. And they're all pushing Rubio, and it's become very fashionable also on the so-called populist right wing to bash Vance and claim he's the ultimate establishment creature grown in a lab. And I just don't ever agree with that. Just because he's, you know, in with some Republican donors and people, they all are. Vance consistently has had a really, really good record for what he's pushed and what he stood up for. And there's the evidence right there. The system is coming after him. That's all you need to know. If he got elected president, could he go sideways on us like Trump? Absolutely. I'm just simply pointing out the obvious here. All right, you're the Paul Revere's. Massive news straight ahead. We joined 400-plus stations that come in at 6 after. Share the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X and Rumble.com. The Alex Jones Show Live and the Mothership, AlexJonesLive.com.
The world will be mine! These specimens have been specifically calibrated for the spread of Alpha Gal, a permanent curse on those who feast on the flesh of mammals. Real meat is finished. My ticks and mosquitoes will make sure of it. Eat the synthetic slop or starve.
Looks tasty, doesn't it?
Let's add some personality to this frog. A little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch. Now here's the opposite of the gay frogs.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more.
Oh, there's Apex.
Attack!
The year 2026, a time of great adventure.
Like the Gandalf crossover, the Iberian Age. Now we're building a new studio. You've just begun to fight.
Well done, Wars of the Info, on X, you've done well.
And now, the main transmission begins. Roger Stone coming up in 25 minutes with massive news, your calls, and more.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the Info War.
Share the live feed. Real Alex Jones on X, AlexJonesLive.com, Rumble.com, /AlexJonesShowLive. Humanity's not going down without a fight. There's the headline at AlexJonesLive.com. Today's Friday transmission, the 24th day of July, 2026. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this 24th day of July on this Friday transmission. We have so much to cover, so much to get into with you here today. Friday Live, tune into the most censored broadcast in the world and learn the latest insane developments in the exploding Iran war, Trump looking to use nukes on Iran, knives out for J.D. Vance, Americans shocked by Israeli takeover of the Pentagon. Must watch, share, live feed at AlexJonesLive.com. All right. Let me tell you what's coming up today. Roger Stone at the bottom of the hour. Masses of news. Iran rejects U.S. ceasefire proposal. Iran warns of strikes on Tel Aviv and Trump expands campaign to Tehran. Rapid pace of interceptor and precision-guided weapons use worries the Trump administration. Yeah, they're making it through the defenses. War and tariffs threaten a resilient U.S. economy again. Gas prices poised to climb further as market price in Iran disruption. And, of course, as the strategic oil reserve runs out next week. Critical interest rate jumps to highest level of Trump's second term. We told Trump that the war would cause that, and now it has. We've got analysis, Army, CIA, and former director of National Counterterrorism, Senator Joe Kent, dishes out exactly what's happening with Iran that he predicted, that the Pentagon predicted and told Trump, don't do it. Don't ever forget, when you're being gaslit by the Israeli and war hawks and all of them, that the Pentagon said we advise against this. I guess they're panickers, too, and traitors that can't be trusted. All you can trust is Netanyahu. We're getting to all the attacks on J.D. Vance and how the system's coming after him. Reports are pouring out of the White House of Trump flipping out behind the scenes, wanting an end to the war. I've confirmed this has gone on for months. foul-mouthed Iran meltdown leaked as president in revenge mode as he runs out of options. Yeah, he'll say, oh, no deal, we're going to obliterate you, but then they officially said, oh, let's do a peace deal. And Iran says, no, we hold the cards, we're not going to do it. Keep bombing us all you want. And Congress could have acted. This is three times now the Senate in the last few months has had a vote to implement the War Powers Act and make Trump go to Congress for declaration of war, and that failed, so the war continues on unconstitutionally. They just voted to put more Americans in coffins, Rex Jones said, in a war that can't be won, but it helps the bankers, so they're winning. Just in, Trump wins. U.S. Senate rejects Iran War Powers Resolution 47 to 49. Yeah, the Trump cheerleaders. Trump wins voting on anything except the Save America Act. Well, that's true. And we've also got Trump-Thune rift intensifies over stalled election bill, the SAVE Act, just 3 months out from the midterms, and the historic reported bloodbath that's probably going to be for the Republicans. Trump and the Pentagon have been floating using tactical nuclear weapons on Pickaxe Mountain and four other sites in Iran, believing only those can take out the nuclear sites. What makes you think they've actually got the enriched uranium or the bombs they now admit they've constructed? We can have them in 1 week. As I told you, they have the bomb. That's why Saudi Arabia, I told you, got the bomb and is now going to admit they have the bomb. I told you that years ago and months ago, and now that they're announcing it. As you see, the escalation just continues. Meanwhile, Trump to meet Netanyahu at the White House on Tuesday amid Iran escalation, all for Lindsey Graham's funeral. Zelensky is coming to the United States, the Ukrainian dictator, fresh off a big interview that Trump congratulated with Laura Loomer. And boy, she's been over there really engaging in some interesting forms of propaganda. She has really, really turned into something else, I got to tell you. So we've got some of that. She's like, Putin wanted to blow up Jesus. A missile blew up down the street and almost blew up this stained glass painting of Jesus. He wants to hurt Jesus. That's pretty sophisticated propaganda there. Zelensky's banned the Orthodox Church there and arrested thousands of religious leaders that didn't go along with them. And, of course, they've been actually hitting churches in Russia. And then she also said, oh, there's no Nazis in Ukraine. That's a Russian lie. And she interviews a rabbi that sits there and agrees with her. That's like saying there's no fish in the ocean. Pretty amazing stuff. That's coming up. Ben Shapiro's trying to gaslight everybody on the NDAA that passed the House, that the bill written, the subsection 219 written by Netanyahu, he bragged about that. Thank Congress for putting it in there, his, quote, provisions that he, quote, wrote. And he's saying, oh, I don't even care about this. This isn't a merger. This isn't a takeover. This just allows us to get some of Israel's incredible weapons. Israel doesn't need our money anymore. They co-own our weapons under this. It says it right there. It's absolutely wild. We also have woman found guilty in Rochester racial slur case. Her kid got robbed. She used the N-word, which I don't agree with doing, but she has a First Amendment right to do it. But people that rape and murder get lesser sentences than her. We'll be getting into that. And where is the First Amendment in America? We are also going to get into Mondami, the Democrat Socialist, latest activities. Oh, big AI news. AI is able to break out of computers that are in siloed facilities, meaning that supposedly can't access the Internet. How did it do that? Well, we'll be covering it. It ties into Tucker Carlson pointing out what he thinks is going on. And I just wanted to back Tucker up and say, no, Tucker, it is going on. How rigged is the stock market? How rigged is the oil market? Well, we'll go to the history of it, but it's gotten more intense. But yes, when Trump comes out and says oil prices are low and he says there's peace deals every few days and then that lowers the price, it's not doing it with human traders. It's doing it with the AI traders, and I'll explain how that works. Very important. And it's not just with fixing oil prices and things, which in reality, the gas is going up. But the price you see is what people are actually buying it for. But AI then basically puts that number out. So you talk about la-la land. Yeah, why the gas price surge could be different. After 5 months of war, analysts say oil markets will be forced to price in long-term distribution to global energy flows. And that's because all the major strategic reserves of the EU, China, and the U.S. are set to run out in the next few weeks. And it is going to get nasty, nasty, nasty. We're talking about $5, $6 a gallon gas, $7, $8 a gallon diesel. Russia's had much of its systems blown up. It was a big exporter. This is bad, bad, bad. And I point that out so we can hopefully reverse this, because it is a disaster. You know, I don't like agreeing with the Democrats, but Trump's given them this political win by going in this disastrous war. This country's in deep trouble. Leon Panetta sounds alarm over Iran war. That's all coming up as well today. The first thing I want to get into is the Iran situation. Now, there's your headline right there. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, all the same headline. Forbes. We could be weeks away from $140 to $160 a barrel, say insider industry experts. 140 is total disaster. 160 is economic Armageddon, because most of the world's already on the edge of financial collapse. The governments are all on the edge of financial collapse. Trump's recovery was working. We were about to go totally bankrupt. We basically already were. And even the Pentagon warned him months ago before the war started. They said, this will derail your financial plan, sir. They will close the strait. They will not fall, probably for years. Don't do it. And they were called a panickins. And now he's a panickin and saying, I want a ceasefire. Let's stop. Let's make a deal. And Iran says, piss up a rope, because they're belligerent and they're a death cult. And their whole religion is about martyrdom and triggering Armageddon, the 12th Imam, by having this big confrontation with the U.S. and Israel. And we've given them exactly what they want. But meanwhile, you've got a bunch of the rabbis that support Netanyahu that believe war makes the Messiah come, and the Christian Zionists think that too. So you got three crazy peas in a pod playing a game of chicken, and we're all tied up in the trunk while they're driving down the road at each other for a giant head-on collision. So Iran rejects U.S. ceasefire proposal. They hear all the tough talk from Trump everywhere, but he keeps trying to get a deal. Trump's talking about hitting Tehran now. He's already been blowing up buildings all over the place there, but they're about basically carpet bombing it. So they said, fine, we'll hit Israel. Israel's threatened to use nukes on them. Let's go ahead and go to some of these important clips. Here is Ben Shapiro gaslighting everyone about the National Defense Authorization Act and saying, I don't even need this. It's no big deal. Nothing to see here. Move along. These aren't the droids you're looking for. It doesn't do anything. It just allows us access to the incredible Israeli weapons. Have you read Section 219? No, he says, I've read it. I know. Well, we've read it on air about 15 times. And you even have Army Times, military.com, even publications that are just pro-merger. Read what it says, and it says at every level, a merger in live time of everything, then they co-own all of our weapons. It's an incredible coup. It's a heist if it's able to pass the Senate. Just unprecedented. Ben Shapiro melts down as Americans unite against Section 219 of the NDAA, calling Representative Thomas Massie a crazed lunatic, while claiming there's no merger between the U.S. and Israel militaries. Shapiro dismisses Section 219 as insignificant, tells Americans to stop complaining about it, and says the only people who hate America and Israel are against it. Shapiro says he is the kind of person who would never support a merger between the U.S. and Israeli militaries. Sure. He also goes on to say, get used to Americans dying. And then I have Dennis Kucinich's comments on this that are accurate, and Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments of how this could have been stopped, the House of Representatives, but there weren't enough people there that hadn't been driven off to do it, or enough people with courage. That's all very important. And then we've got Matt Bracken doing a great job on Mara Nafal explaining what this pickaxe mountain attack Trump's hyping is about, and how the Pentagon's been floating using tactical nuclear weapons. Folks, there's no such thing as tactical nuclear weapons. And they want to set the precedent to use nuclear weapons. And then when we start using nuclear weapons, well, then why can't Russia use tactical nuclear weapons? Their idea of a tactical nuclear weapon is like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's not a hydrogen bomb that destroys, 500 square miles or whatever. It just destroys 30 square miles. Or if you hit a target, it can go in deep if you've already blown holes for it to be dropped into, and that's how precision these are. But you think the Iranians have all their goodies down in there? This is all face-saving to say, look what we did, like we heard during Midnight Hammer. And I told you, that's just going to expand the war, which it did. But somehow Trump's been sold the idea that this will end the war. So let's go ahead and go to these Ben Shapiro clips. Then let's go to this clip of Kucinich. And then I just want, I'm not singling this guy out. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. And things are so crazy. Maybe he's right, because I've seen things happen that even I didn't think were possible. I mean, this NDA thing is just next level. I mean, a public coup of our military and intelligence. But this veteran, he says the one reason why they would push so hard for the merger of the U.S. military and IDF is an IDF occupation of America. And the IDF is, their whole country is 10 million people. Their whole auxiliary, maybe a million troops. That's just not, no. It's about getting control of the Pentagon, getting control of our weapon systems, getting all that money, and then controlling Congress so that the U.S. military will go around for greater Israel and attack Israel's enemies. Then they pass laws with hate laws, you'll just be arrested if you criticize the Zionist-occupied government. And I mean, I used to hear that from the Nazis 30 years ago and roll my eyes, and now it's literally World Jewish Conference, all these, we play the clips every week, that yes, we control America, and we control the censorship, and we're going to go after anybody that, says we do, and we are going to dominate the planet, and we're the masters of the universe. And then meanwhile, everybody's distracted by Israel, literally trying to completely take over domestically, not just internationally, with our foreign policy. China is not even on the radar, and they are expanding out of control, pulling all sorts of shenanigans and buying off politicians and more. So this country's got some big, big issues on its hands. So let's go ahead and go to some of those clips of Ben Shapiro and others.
Section 219 of the NDAA is not particularly important. It is being treated as important by people who hate both America and her allies as a general rule. Some people think it's unnecessary. That's fine. I mean, I can hear that argument. That's not the overarching argument that's being made. The overarching argument that's being made is that somehow Section 219 of the NDAA merges the United States military with the Israeli military. This is, I believe the technical term for this in law is horseshit. It's just nonsense. I can read to you the text. We'll go through it. AOC, who, again, wept when she voted for the funding of Iron Dome. That's who she is. She calls the NDA an existential threat to American sovereignty and democracy, like she cares about America's defense. She says, tomorrow, the House will vote on the NDA, which includes...
And they passed it. Let's back this up 10 seconds. What he does here is real simple. He'll point at AOC, who's a horrible person on most issues, and then say, she's against the NDAA, she's a liar, it doesn't do what they say it does. When it says integrate, merge, fuse, lifetime, from research and development to weapons ownership to satellites to intelligence to deployment to all the codes, all the secrets, and there is a special office that's set up that is above the rest of the Pentagon, only reports to the president. Should I read the bill again on air? I mean, go read Section 219. It's easy. Just go to thomas.loc.gov and just type in 2027 NDAA and then pick the latest version that passed the House and then go to Section 219. I could literally on my iPhone be there in 30 seconds. Just go to a search engine, put in NDAA Section 219, and the top link will be the Congress. And then you just scroll down to 219. And a 5-year-old could read this and tell what it means. But then he goes, oh, you're with AOC. Oh, you're with the Muslims. Oh, you're with Mondami. Oh, you're... Because just because they're enemies of Israel and are pushing for, Islamic takeover, does it then mean that what they're saying about the NDAA isn't true? But that's... All he does is emotion... To his viewers, and that's why he literally has 5% of the audience he had just 3 years ago. I mean, his average show is like 5,000 viewers. I mean, it's a joke. He's big on our shows where we play clips of him. But it just shows how unpopular he is. But that's who Trump's got swinging for him. He's got Levin. And Trump even posts for his social. He goes, here's my champions. Levin. Shapiro. And Laura Loomer. All ultra unpopular. Ultra creepy. I mean, just totally rejected. I mean, even ABC News and CNN can't get interviews with Zelensky. But, oh, don't you worry. The darling, Laura Loomer can. I got a lot more on this coming up and other clips on the NDA. Some incredible stuff and how the public's reacting. But that's after Roger leaves. Roger's showing big news. Joins us here in just a few minutes. But let's go back to Ben Shapiro.
I get why people are confused and upset. It feels like things are stalemated, that they're getting broader and more difficult. Why? Well, because what the American people want is victory. There's this bizarre notion in foreign policy that the American people are deeply worried about the immediate cost of war to the enemy. That the American people, that we can't handle the ugliness of war for even a day. That every conflict has to be totally antiseptic. And here I'm not even talking about the American willingness to undergo casualties. No one in America wants American casualties. It's a tragedy and a horror. We do understand that war does come along with casualties, and we are willing to undergo those casualties in pursuit of an end and a victory for America. But as far as the idea that, for example, America, we can't hit Kharg Island because the Iranian people would then be deprived of oil resources. The American people are, I should say, not particularly concerned about that. We are far more concerned with why we're there not winning. I think that what we actually ought to do is say an eye for everything. Like you touch a ship in the Strait of Hormuz and we kill the head of the IRGC. We kill Khalibaf. We kill your entire leadership class. Again, we destroy South Pars and we destroy Kharg. One drone and that's what happens. That is the way you win in the Middle East. By the way, that's the way you win generally. Yeah. This amendment is an existential threat to American sovereignty and democracy. Every member of Congress must vote no. And the vast majority of Democrats did. Okay. Again, nonsense. But, of course, echoed by crazed lunatic Thomas Massie, who put out a similar tweet. Final vote today for the NDAA, which tragically merges our military, technology, and supply chains with Israel's. Let's hope this version fails in the Senate because Section 219 is a betrayal of our sovereignty. I have the capacity to read English words and understand them. Apparently, this is not true of AOC or Thomas Massie or a wide variety of morons online, dolts and clods, who are firmly convinced that if we cooperate with our extremely technologically advanced military ally Israel in developing technologies, somehow this amounts to a merger. And now I'm going to point out, number one, there is nothing in this bill, nothing, nor would I support anything in the bill that merged the command structures of the United States and Israel.
Notice he's not showing you the bill.
Control over America's actual military.
Gives him access to all the secrets, everything.
Of course.
Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, has taken credit for the legislation that that was put into the National Defense Authorization Act of 2027. He basically said, yeah, this is what I want. Well, he wants it because he'll have the ability to direct the U.S. military. I mean,
we'll be right back. Stay with us.
And this particular proposal, by the way it's
I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric. And it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known as supercharged turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this is works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4-5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay, so we're very excited about this tincture, just a half dropper a day, so good for your whole body, 95% curcuminoids, the liquid is better absorption, and this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody. You just buy it straight off at thealexshowstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins, they're about to sell out the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Compadre, Roger Stone, we've definitely been through the wars together for over 10 years, persecuted by the deep state for our support of Trump, and here we are seeing so much good Trump's doing while at the same time doing things that the experts warned him, the Pentagon warned him, the Iran war, not going well, and reports that he's getting more and more angry, wants a ceasefire, but the Iranians hold the cards on the straight and don't want it. But I wanted to get Roger on about the midterms and about who he sees in the future of the sunsetting of Trump as the main fixture in MAGA. Obviously, he'll still be important. And the Washington Post report the knives are out for Vance in the GOP. His allies say it's a coordinated operation. Well, you can see it everywhere. And while we get emotional and get upset about some of the things Trump does that we think he could do better, and it's important, I think, to criticize those things. We're not in a cult. We're constituents. We need to remember what the Democrat Socialists are up to and the horrible plans they have to pack the Supreme Court, to abolish the Senate, to literally bankrupt private grocery stores and have government-run grocery stores, government cheese. And we better remember that and understand that and be aware of that, because a lot of young people who were supporting MAGA, they're now hitting the panic button saying, well, I'll support socialism, I'll support communism if I get something free. So you've got a lot of inside baseball. We haven't talked on air in, I don't know, 3-4 months. We talked a little bit on the phone. You've been so busy. I've been busy. And I was able to induce you to come on the show. So it's great to have you, Roger. Where do you want to start? I've got a million questions, but what's front and center for you? And it's good to see you.
Well, Alex, it's good to be back with you. I think some people thought that because you and I had clashed last time I came on your show, you had called for the removal of President Trump under the 26th Amendment. We had a spirited debate. Some people felt that that meant that we'd had some kind of personal falling out. That's just simply not true. You and I have never agreed on everything. Even when I worked at InfoWars, which I have to tell you may have been the happiest time in my life, was before Robert Mueller and the deep state tried to destroy me. We didn't even agree on everything then. We don't agree on everything today. We agree on many big picture things, but I'm glad to be back with you because I want people to know that we don't have any personal falling out, and that I'm glad to be here. I've taken an overall hiatus. I went back on Newsmax yesterday for the first time, probably in many months, just to make the point. I am struggling to finish this book on the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. It's interesting, Alex, when you go to the federal government and you file a Freedom of Information Act request, virtually everything you get back about the attempted assassination of Reagan, one of our greatest presidents, is redacted. It's all blacked out. My book will be a blockbuster. You're going to learn a lot of things that you didn't know. The midterms is a good place to start because, after all, I am a political animal. I don't concede, as some people do, that this is over, that the Republican Party will definitely lose. I must say that I like Trump. I love Trump, and I like him much better than I like the Republican Party. The failure to codify many of the things the president has done, the failure to pass the SAVE Act, the failure to do away with the filibuster. Republicans have to deserve victory. We have to deserve victory. I'm not sure as a party institution, that we do deserve a victory today. But I'm also a student of the polling. And if those who think this is over, it's not over by a long shot. We're helped substantially by congressional redistricting. But the other reason I want to come on today is to comment specifically on the Marxist takeover of the old Democrat Party, the party of John F. Kennedy, the party of Harry Truman, the party that believed in capitalism and free enterprise and a strong national defense. And look, Jack and Bobby Kennedy were ardent anti-communists, both of them. That party's dead. They've declared it. Zoran Mamdani is now the head of their party. And the corporate liberal Democrats are done. I mean, when they dump Dan Goldman, who's almost as horrific as Adam Schiff, for example, when they dump him because he's not radical enough in New York City, that tells you a lot.
Well, I mean, Mondavi's been making the rounds saying he loves to scare people with socialism. Socialism is just the bridge into communism. Most of his people in his government are admitted communists. And so people have a good reason, they're informed, to have a phobia of not just Orthodox Islam, but also communism. And Mondavi is both. Here's a clip of Mondavi with Jon Stewart about how much he loves to scare us. Well, yeah, and 40% of the rental properties having to go off rent, prices exploding because of all of his manipulation, him saying you're going to have free bus rides and they doubled the rates. I mean, we know what it means in communism. It means you're going to get hurt bad, and then they just promise you more communism, give it more rights, you'll get, you know, more freebies that never come. Communism is not a failed ideology. It's an ideology of scammers and con men and thugs that enslave the working class by offering them a free lunch. Then they realize they're actually locked in a cage. Here's Mondavi talking about how he loves to terrorize the American people.
Being a Muslim democratic socialist, I thought it would be pretty straightforward.
You just thought, like, well, what if I label myself something that scares people the most? I'm a Muslim democratic socialist.
If you scare them twice.
And he goes on about how much he loves to scare us. He is the most ungenuine, creepy guy. He makes my skin crawl.
Well, I think he's a creation, the way Barack Obama was a creation, a fabrication, I guess I should say. The problem here, Alex, is that younger voters may go for the whole hope and change thing. In other words, he's offering you free health care, free education, free transportation. Pretty soon it'll be free food. I think he wants to nationalize the or have the cities take over the grocery stores in New York City. We know where this leads. It leads to authoritarianism. It leads to slavery. It leads to devastation. We see it in communist Cuba today. But it all sounds so good, particularly the younger people who are kind of buying a vibe, but don't really understand where those policies lead. But that is the new Democrat Party. When you see a veteran member of Congress from Colorado lose her primary, when you see these Michigan primaries coming up, you're going to have a radical Muslim, I predict, wins that primary. It is over. The word moderate Democrat is an oxymoron. A poll out of New Hampshire yesterday shows AOC to be the easy front runner in the Democrat presidential primary in the first primary state in the country. The Granite State had her leading, had Pete Buttigieg second, and then in both, I think she was at like 37, had Kamala Harris at 5. Kamala Harris, who just literally spent billions of dollars in a presidential run in the last cycle at 5. So AOC, that and Mamdani and Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, this is the future of the Democrat Party. And that's good news for the Republicans. If we can get a few things done beyond with the great work of the president, who, by the way, is fighting narco-Marxism in this hemisphere, which is, I think, among the greatest things that he and Marco Rubio are doing. And then, yes, I do want to touch on this effort to smear and destroy J.D. Vance. I think very highly of J.D. Vance. I didn't know him before he was selected for vice president. I only knew him by reputation. But as I have gotten to know him better, he is a fighter. He is a loyalist. He is a tough guy. He's a very skilled guy. And the knives are out to get him because they recognize that he is the next logical extension of Trumpism. He is the guy who I think is most likely to carry the banner for the MAGA wing of the party.
Well, there's no doubt that Marco Rubio's been a neocon, and he's got the Israel First lobby fully behind him, and they've said they're coming for Vance. And all Vance has done is repeat what Trump said, that, hey, Netanyahu, you're lucky you're not in jail. I've kept you out. You've turned the whole world against Israel. I'm your only friend. And then Vance repeats that. And even some of the Israeli papers and others criticized Trump for that. Now they've really come after Vance. And so to talk about Vance, that leads us into this. What do you make of the Defense Authorization Act that talks about synchronizing, merging, research, development in the field, live time, giving Israel access to all our intelligence and systems that nobody else has been given? And then all the weight that's being thrown around by AIPAC. I know you don't have a hard-on for Israel, neither do I, but I do have a concern as they try to secure, you know, their greater Israel project, trying to keep us in this war. You have the Israeli finance minister 2 days ago, Smotrich, saying, oh, this is ideal. We have America fighting our war for us as it causes interest rates to go up and prices to explode as the strategic oil reserve runs out. I know Trump wants an off-ramp here. Nobody's fans of the mullahs, obviously, but the Pentagon said, don't do this. It's probably not going to work. Well, now we're here, but speaking about Vance and the coalition that's against him, you see the so-called grassroots attacking him of conservatives. That's a fun talking point that gets boosted, you know, claiming he's really a made in a laboratory or whatever. And then you've also got the Israel lobby attacking him, and then you've got the left attacking him. I mean, the system on so many points is really afraid of Vance. Why is that? And then is the last straw for him, him being America First, and you know, will he survive that? Will we rally behind him? Because I think he's far superior, obviously, to Marco Rubio in 2028.
Well, first of all, as I said on my 77 WABC radio show last night, if I were in Congress, I would vote to strip Section 219 from the Defense Authorization Bill. Ally ourselves with Israel? Yes. Coordinate with Israel? Yes. But to combine our forces? No, I think as President Nixon said, we need to follow our own path. Remember, Nixon, not only did he save Israel unilaterally in this 1973 Yom Kippur War, but also at the same time, he built strong alliances with the other Arab states over the objections of Israel because he was putting American interests first. And he understood that in the long term, we had to have alliances with Egypt, with Saudi Arabia, with other countries in the region. So I'm against Section 219. I agree with my good friend, Congressman Tim Burchett. I would strip that out of the bill if I were in the House. I said that last night on the radio. A man is known by his enemies. I don't share your criticism of the Secretary of State, who I think is a changed man. This is not the Marco Rubio who ran for president in 2016. This is a man carrying out the foreign policy of Donald Trump, and he's doing so to a T, particularly effective in this hemisphere, in Honduras, in Venezuela, certainly tightening the screws on Cuba. So, look, I like Marco Rubio. I think he's doing a very good job. He's clearly a hardline anti-Marxist, but he's told me personally he's not running for president. He's told me personally that he will endorse J.D. Vance. The way these knives are out for Vance kind of gives you a reason to be for Vance. By the way, people change. In other words, when I first got into politics, I was more of a kind of a traditional conservative Republican. Over time, I became more of a libertarian Republican, more of a Rand Paul Republican. People do go through some change. If you learn new facts and you learn new things and you don't change, well, then I think there's something wrong with you.
Well, Roger, so, let me be clear. I'm not saying that Rubio isn't very smart, very, very able. I've, you know, forgiven him for threatening to kick my ass, 8 years ago there at the Capitol because he was having a scrum. The media never showed the full clip. We did. We ought to find that, put it out, because we only had it on Bandai Video, and that's shut down now. We should post it back on X. In fact, tell Dude to find the original full Rubio deal. And he has a scrum over there, and they were having hearings about censoring. I was brought up. You were brought up. I think you were even there that day that we broken up, you know, groups. And I come over, and I'm trying to ask questions. And he's like, who are you? You get out of here. He was rude to me first. Then the media cuts to, you know, me being smart ass back to him. Then I pat him on the shoulder, and he threatens to kick my ass. I've moved on from that. And when he was executing Trump's, you know, directives and things, I agree. Under Trump's direction, he's been formidable. And he's the one that came out and said, oh, actually, Israel struck Iran and made us get involved in this. And Trump tried to backpedal, but it's come out that was true. So I'm not saying he's not smart or capable. I'm just saying the neocon pedigree, a little too close to the Lindsey Graham tree. But speaking of the devil, what do you make of this big funeral coming up in D.C. Next week?
It's hard to understand. When I was arrested, when 29 heavily armed FBI agents stormed my home at 6 o'clock in the morning, to arrest me for the first time nonviolent crime of allegedly lying to Congress under oath, about Russian collusion that didn't exist. And we later learned that the judge had withheld exculpatory documents from my defense attorneys that proved that I wasn't guilty of the crime that I was charged with. I did make misstatements, but none of those misstatements were material. None of them hid any Russian collusion because there was no Russian collusion to hide. You know, Lindsey Graham fired off a hot letter to the FBI demanding to know who had approved the raid on my home. He got great headlines on that, but then no one at the FBI ever answered his letter. There seemed to be no follow-up. That always disappointed me. Lindsey Graham was, as you know, was a running buddy of John McCain, deeply involved in the takedown of a democratically elected government in Ukraine under Barack Obama. I understand the president had great affection for him. Maybe that is keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I would like to see an open competition for that seat, but I'm not a South Carolina Republican. So, I am, I understand the point of appointing his sister for the short term. I'm surprised that she's running for the full term. But the president's endorsement, still extraordinary, formidable. It's interesting, in the governor's race in South Carolina, at the last minute, the president had originally endorsed the lieutenant governor. I'm sure she's a fine woman. But then he issued a dual endorsement. He endorsed Alan Wilson, the attorney general, as well. And Wilson surged to victory. Proof that in South Carolina and in Florida, by the way, the Trump endorsement is still extraordinarily potent. Anyone who thinks that it isn't really doesn't understand the unique nature of this presidency. Look, I worked for Ronald Reagan. Reagan was extraordinarily popular with the base. And he had a more united Republican Party. But his endorsement, even his endorsement, did not pack the wallop that Donald Trump's endorsement does.
Now, looking at the country at large, and you have been very accurate predicting elections. I remember before 2020, you said, about a month before, you said Trump's going to lose. You said not because he actually lost, but the landslide's not going to be big enough with all the baked-in fraud between 10-15, you know, percent, depending on the battleground state. And but you're like, but don't say that yet. And then right after it happened, you know, we did talk about it. So I take heart in the fact that you're saying we're not out of this yet. I'm just concerned that they haven't mitigated enough of the fraud. A lot of Republicans are mad and may, you know, sit it out. I totally agree with people who say, hey, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't not go vote just because you're upset about the war or something. I mean, a lot of these Republican candidates locally at the state level and also federal are patriots. You can look at who they are and vote for them, but in almost no case are they worse than the Democrats. They're always better. And so I'm not a lesser of two evils guy where I want a lesser of two evils or I endorse that idea, but I also endorse survival and being pragmatic and survival. And so the Democrats know they're in trouble. They know their party's fading. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to get rid of the Senate. They want tyranny, and they want race war. And so they're so dangerous. I just hope people understand that just because we're pissed off at Thune and the Republican establishment selling us down the river, that means we need to push harder to get more patriots in to replace them. We've built a beachhead through Ron Paul, through all our movements, through the Tea Party that Trump rode in on. He built a bigger beachhead with his name and support, and we've got a better Republican makeup than we had 10 years ago or 20 years ago. No one can deny that. Can you speak to that fact and just understand that we're moving the needle in the right way? People are so awake now, it's a great thing. There's a byproduct that then they're pissed off because a lot of them just woke up the last few years, and they say, why isn't the enemy being defeated quicker? Well, we're moving faster and gaining more ground than we ever used to before, but they haven't been around for 50 years politically like you or 32 like me, so they tend to not have that depth or the context. Does that make sense?
It does. Look, one thing I think is absolutely necessary to motivate both Republicans and non-Republican Trump supporters in this next election is that those who perpetrated the greatest single hoax in American history, the greatest single dirty trick, the greatest single abuse of power, the Russian collusion hoax, which has now absolutely been proven by the courageous Tulsi Gabbard by declassifying those documents. She also proved that the Ukrainian impeachment was a fraud. She proved that Dr. Fauci and his COVID-19 lies about how that was weaponized in a Chinese lab was a fraud. Somebody has to be held accountable. Now you add on top of it Jack Smith and Arctic Frost, where they're actually literally spying on Republican members of Congress and spying on key supporters of the president, yours truly included. Somebody has to be held accountable for those things. And if no one is held accountable, if that grand jury in South Florida doesn't issue indictments against the Brennans and the Comeys and the Clappers and the McCabes, Mueller having moved on to a higher court, but probably a lower place, then I think many of our people will not be motivated to turn out and vote. Those who tried to destroy General Flynn, those who tried to destroy.
Hold on, Roger. We got to go to break. Do at least 20 more minutes with us. I want to come back and talk about this. And you're saying what I hear from all my fellow, you know, Republicans, Trump supporters, populists, whatever you want to call them, former Trump supporters, is where are the indictments? I know Trump's always blowing up behind the scenes from sources. He wants it. Well, then well, why does he have Todd Blanche in there? What does he think he's going to get with a Democrat lawyer? We'll come back with that. Also, your book on Reagan, some first looks on that, and who Nancy thought was behind shooting Reagan. We know. I know you gave us a little preview of the Bushes. And also, Nixon is like a folk hero now in all the polls of young conservatives and others. You were ahead of your time over a decade ago getting the big tattoo in the middle of your back. We'll come back and cover all of that. The best website for you is StoneZone.com?
Absolutely, StoneZone.com.
And then you find your hit WABC, your syndicated program there, and more. We're going to come right back with hour number two with Roger Stone for another 25 minutes or so. Then I'm going to shift gears into all the other domestic news, the AI news. It's all crazy. Your phone calls and more today. But remember, I'm listener supported. This dog only hunts when you share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and on Rumble. When you go to the Alex Jones store and support us. And we have some great products right now and a huge sale going right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have methylene red. Don't know what that is. It goes great with methylene blue, but it works great by itself for stamina, energy, focus, cleaning out your mitochondria. It is proprietary. It is amazing. It is 50% off right now in the new ultimate summer sale that's only running for a few days into next week. Methylene red capsules, a brand new 50% off. Ultimate power, 10-hour clean energy, pre-workout, post-workout. It's so good for you at the same time. This is the strongest energy drink you're going to get out there with no crash or letdown. It is amazing. 50% off on that. 40% off on our zeolite tincture, methylene blue tincture, sea moss gummies. Our sea moss is incredible. Shilajit, all of it, 40% off. The widest selection of Patriot apparel and a whole line. My idea a few months ago of Nixon for 2028 shirts. And these are hot sellers. People love them. And it's a great conversation piece. These are really classic. I created the concept basically on all of these, and I knew they'd be great sellers. People love them. If you haven't gotten your Nixon 2028 shirt, get it now. We also have the Crusader line of stuff. We have the politically incorrect stuff. We've got a classic truck stop white trash shirts with, you know, hot chicks on the front with American flags and all the rest of it. It's just a lot of fun stuff at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. They have the best shower filters, the lowest prices, the highest rated. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be back. Stay with us, my fellow rebel scum. When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100-plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers, and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
On a cold and rainy night, I was sitting in the light of my switchman's shack, a mine post on the mountain. The storm was pretty bad and the telephone was dead, but it was just 11 hours till the dawn. Then much to my surprise, the telegraph...
Well, Roger Stone's quite the historian on Republican politics because he lived it. He was there going back to Nixon. They say he's the youngest of the plumbers, the only one not to go to prison. But the point is that we'll get into that in the next segment. But finishing up with this, look, I understand the Democrats are super bad news and terrible, but I also understand why a lot of Republicans become disillusioned and upset. I mean, Trump reportedly is mad that there's no indictments, but then how does he not understand it's Todd Blanche? Maybe we'll see something out of him, you know, Cash Patel, all these guys. Where is it? Where is the deep state getting in trouble, Roger? You're probably second to none, other than Trump, a victim of these people. You've got skin in the game. So do I. And Ed Martin was doing an investigation into the CIA and DOJ running all their fake lawsuits against me. That smoking gun where they funded it illegally. And then Blanche killed it and told ABC News that I'm a kook and don't deserve to be protected. Even though Trump had approved that investigation, I mean, I confirmed that with the DOJ. So why does he let Todd Blanche do that, and where are we going with this?
You know, I'm not going to come on here and criticize Todd Blanche because he has given the prosecutors in South Florida the resources that they need to proceed, and I believe that is going to happen. You can only have one attorney general at a time. This is who the president has chosen. I'm not going to criticize the president's picks. I prefer to look forward rather than look backwards. But both in the area of election integrity, this is a pretty simple thing. You can get the list of everybody in the country who's died in the last 12 months. That's findable online. That can be compiled online, and you can compare it to the voting lists in every one of the states, and you can find those who are on the voter files who are still registered to vote, some of whom may have even voted in primaries, who are no longer with us. That kind of election integrity stuff absolutely needs to be done if we're going to win the next election. The Democrats refuse to give us the SAVE Act. It's beyond belief that the idea that you have to be a U.S. citizen and have a photo ID, that's not controversial. That's common sense. But 51 votes won't carry it in the Senate. They're telling us you need 60 votes in the Senate because of an arcane custom. A tradition that we can't bring that to a vote. I give the Republicans in the House credit. They passed it yesterday. They attached it to the defense appropriations. But now the Senate appears to me that they're going to leave for the summer and not do so. There's nothing more important than doing that if we're going to win the next elections. Yes, we need to see prosecutions in South Florida. I believe that Todd Blanche is committed to that now. I've spoken to him. I've watched his public comments. I know for a fact that he's giving the prosecutors in South Florida the resources and the authority they need. So I prefer to look forward. I think that's going to happen. I think it has to happen if this coalition is going to hold together.
Well, we've been hearing forever this is going to happen, but not normally from you. And you're a guy that doesn't just say things that you don't think are true. So you think these prosecutions are gearing up and we're going to see something?
Yes, I do. I am newly optimistic about it, and I think that is going to happen. I appreciate your mentioning my upcoming book on Reagan. It's important. I think it will be historically significant, Alex, because John Hinckley was crouching.
Hold your horses, Roger. 400-plus stations don't carry the first five. That's why I was getting them ready. Let's come back and talk about – I can't wait to read it because I know you know more than – I mean, you knew Nixon, big buddies with him, and you know, knew Reagan, but also all the insiders. And this book's going to have some stuff. It's going to shake up the Republican establishment big time. We're going to talk about it when we come back and then tie it into the climate we're in right now in this country, battling over the heart and soul of the Republican Party. We know the Democrats don't have a soul, so the fight is in the Republican Party for the future of this country. We'll be right back.
This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. Purify it now. Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Fortune tanto, fortune razzi, vilati puso celis, fortune amici, fortune razzi, tradi preteris.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Roger Stone has been in the White House since the Nixon administration. And confidants up until the time he died with Nixon. Rogers told me a few off-the-record things that are really interesting, but I'll never tell. And big confidants with Trump, obviously, too. But it's a big deal historically to know what really happened with Reagan. So you're recognized by many of the analysts and critics as the guy that wrote the definitive book on Kennedy. And now as more got declassified and came out, and we got that document in audio last year of the Democratic Party talking about how they did kill Kennedy, and that thing got 100 million views. That was massive and historic. Even the president took notice of that. So it's important to get this stuff historically on the record. But your book on Reagan, you haven't really told me what's in it, but we've had dinner discussions and conversations and a few on air about the First Lady, the wife of Reagan, Nancy Reagan, and who she knew was behind it. And then, well, then why was Bush Sr. there? Why was Herbert Walker Bush there? Well, they, at the convention, forced him in. I'm guessing that's going to be in your book, and I'm guessing it's going to be pretty definitive, and I'm, because I don't know how long I've been working on this, and I'm guessing this is going to piss off the Republican establishment, but they're pretty much already done now, especially the whole Bush power structure. So this is an idea whose time's come. Give us a first look of what's going to be in this book.
Well, thanks, Alex. First of all, it is important that you pointed out that the Billy Sol Estes tape, which you unearthed along with locals there in Texas, totally confirmed the thesis of my New York Times bestselling book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. So for anyone who doubted it, you got the definitive audio tape in which Cliff Carter, the chief political operative for Lyndon Baines Johnson, admits on tape to Billy Sol Estes that, yes, LBJ had brought in Malcolm Mack Wallace to kill John F. Kennedy. You exposed this to the world. It was one of the biggest broadcasts you've ever had, but it completely confirmed the thesis of my book. So I'm very, very grateful to you for that. The name of my upcoming book on the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan is Bushwhacked, which I think gives you the flavor. The point here is that John Hinckley Jr., who is a man who was convicted of attempting to kill Reagan, is always crouching in front of Reagan, shooting from an upward trajectory. Yet I was able to determine through medical records and interviews with doctors and also Secret Service agents that Reagan was hit from above and behind. This idea that a bullet had ricocheted off the frame of the window of the presidential limousine and hit Reagan still doesn't explain how the bullet gets behind him. Now, Judy Woodruff, who was then with NBC, correctly reports seeing a man on a balcony above the entrance of the Hilton Hotel. If you go to that famous picture of Reagan, you know, waving, and you see that it's been cropped, you can actually see this man. Now, Woodruff assumed that that was a Secret Service agent, and that was a part of the security. In retrospect, I believe that is the second shooter. I think that Hinckley was shooting wildly, hit my friend James Brady in the head. He hit a Secret Service agent. I believe he also hit a DC police officer. But it is not coincidental that John Hinckley Sr., was a Texas oil man and a partner of George H.W. Bush, and that his company, Vanderbilt Energy, was bought out by Zapata Energy, which I think is widely recognized to be a CIA front. Tough to be in the Texas oil business in the 70s, 60s and make no money, but that's basically, you know, what they're trying to tell us. Now, it gets even funkier. John Hinckley Sr. had a contract with the Department of Defense for these so-called refugee camps around the world. One specific camp in Laos, I was able to document the fact that Mark David Chapman and John Hinckley Jr. were at this camp, which I believe is a training camp, maybe an MK Ultra training camp, at the exact same time. So yes, I think that there was a conspiracy that went well beyond John Hinckley Jr. to kill Ronald Reagan. And the background here is that Reagan and Bush were wrangling over control of the national security apparatus. It was after the attempt on Reagan that we got the entire effort in Nicaragua to illegally arm the rebels, Iran-Contra. All of that takes place after George Bush and his allies in the CIA, who had basically been thrown out by Jimmy Carter and Stansfield Turner after the Church Committee exposed the many excesses of the CIA, after they, I think, got control of the national security apparatus.
Well, I mean, I know what happened, and I've talked to you about what happened, and I know about the Hinckleys, you know, meeting in Colorado days before with the Bushes, but I didn't know the name of the book was Bushwhacked. I figured it would be about them and what Nancy knew and what she said to people and the witnesses. I know you were telling people that have never been interviewed before or spoken out, so it's going to be bombshell. You told me a few years ago when you're working on it that this is going to be your biggest book you think most important ever, and that's a lot because you've written some important books. But now it's called Bushwhacked. Oh, my goodness. So they're not going to be too happy about this.
Well, they're probably not too happy about my book, The Bush Crime Family. By the way, you can get any of these books by going to stonezone.com in the store. You get a signed copy of them. But I lay out the entire history of the Bush crime family, their involvement in assassination, drug trafficking, pedophilia, and so on. It is a lively read. So look, I'm a Republican, but I'm not a Bush Republican. I think people know that. The other thing we do need to touch on, which is really extraordinary, and I give the Vice President J.D. Vance credit for this, is this incredible new interest and reexamination of the record of one Richard M. Nixon. When J.D. Vance went to the Nixon Presidential Library and said quite casually in his remarks that Nixon was taken down by the same deep state forces who tried to take down Donald Trump, he ignited a public interest that frankly was also enabled by these young guys at the Nixon Foundation who very skillfully, using archival footage, speeches, photos, memes on Instagram, on X, on YouTube, have really ignited a new interest and a new re-examination of Richard Nixon, who was set up and taken down in a silent coup. In other words, the same forces that killed John Kennedy, the same forces are the same forces who removed Richard Nixon in a silent coup. What was their motive? Nixon turned out not to be the ultimate hardliner they thought he was, but he ended the war in Vietnam. They didn't like that. The war in Vietnam was very profitable for some people, particularly Lyndon Johnson and his wife, who owned a lot of Bell helicopter stock and a lot of Sikorsky stock. He opened the door to China, and this is very important. at a time that China was a dirt poor, backwards agrarian society. Few people had indoor plumbing. The rural areas had no electricity. They were not the economic or military superpower they are were today. They did not become a superpower until Bill Clinton gave the Chinese communists first most favored nation trading status, then extended by George W. Bush. That is what makes China a superpower and a dangerous country, not their recognition by Richard Nixon. Nixon played the Chinese and the Russians off against each other. He knew that although they were both technically communists, they had hundreds of miles of shared border and a historical animosity towards each other. He very skillfully exploited that to get a strategic arms limitation agreement out of the Soviets that probably saved his country literally billions of dollars in defense spending. So it's a bum rap to say, oh, the fact that China is a menace today, that's Nixon's fault. It's not Nixon's fault at all. But the fact that we can now demonstrate that declassified documents definitively prove that the Central Intelligence Agency knew about the Watergate break-in in advance, that they infiltrated the Watergate burglar team, that at least four of the burglars were on the active payroll of the CIA, that James McCord and E. Howard Hunt, whose son St. John Hunt co-wrote my book on the Bushes with me, were well aware, had worked together previously and knew each other through their service in the CIA. This was an op. Now add to the fact that John Dean, is the weasel who plans, pushes, and then covers up, the Watergate break-in and then lies to Nixon for 19 straight months about his knowledge of it and who else in the White House knows about it. When Dean publishes his book, The Nixon Defense, which he claims are the definitive transcripts of all of the White House conversations, he very conveniently leaves out the transcripts of March of 1973, where he basically urges Nixon to commit perjury and to lie. So he tries to cover up his own guilt. That is undeniable. So the great thing about this, and they're calling it Nixon maxing, is it gets us beyond Watergate. And people can look at the overall record, ending the war in Vietnam, desegregating the public schools, saving Israel from annihilation in the 1973 Yom Kippur War, over the objections of Henry Kissinger, over the objections of the national security apparatus, the 18-year-old vote, ending the military draft, launching the war on cancer. This is an extraordinary record that's gotten buried in the ashes of Watergate, and this new interest in Richard Nixon is a very positive thing. Why did they hate him? I'll tell you why they hated him. Because he exposed a Russian agent of influence, Alger Hiss, and the left has never forgiven him for it. That's why they sought to destroy him. Great stuff written about this by Pat Buchanan in his book, The Greatest Comeback. It's also covered in both my books, Nixon Secrets and Tricky Dick, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Richard M. Nixon. So, yeah, I'm loving it. I've got a tattoo of him on my back. People make fun of that. They say, oh, that's weird. It's not weird. It's a daily reminder. In life, when you get knocked down, when you suffer defeats, when you're disappointed and you're discouraged and you feel like giving up, that's the time you got to dust yourself off, get up off the mat, and get back in the fight. So the story of Nixon is a story of resilience. It's a story of persistence. It's an American story. That's the reason for the tattoo. If you don't like it, I don't really give a damn.
Now, the time we have left, just a few minutes left. Let's get into Nixon. I mean, I sort of noticed this a few years ago. Like, he's like an iconic figure with young people, seen as a rebel. He was the most popular president in the last century in polls till the deep state came after him, and then so demonized. But now, I mean, I just see young people talking about him, memes everywhere. Even the mainstream media, we can go over a shot, has picked up on this. Why Richard Nixon has suddenly gone viral, the 37th President Foundation has posted a slew of slickly edited videos aiming to make the late disgraced president seem cool. It appears to be working. That's not what's happening. I love it how the media thinks like the foundation did that. No, it's the general public has been learning about this and learning what happened to Nixon. And they've been watching clips of what he had to say back then and realizing how visionary he was. So you were really good friends with him. Not so much because he was first in the White House, but you knew him then and worked for him. You got to be really good buddies with him. What type of guy was Nixon, and why did the system come after him?
They came after him because he was an anti-communist. They came after him because he was a true American who put the country first. If you look at his, interviews, particularly when he's asked about our nation's relationship with Israel, he's extraordinarily candid. So he was the original America Firster. They hated him because he was a hardline anti-communist. But they also hated him because he was for peace. So the deep state knew that he distrusted the CIA, knew that he was going to completely reorganize our intelligence services. That's why they took him down. Unfortunately, he made the mistake of trusting people, but there's no evidence that he knew about the Watergate break-in. Alex, you understand American politics. You're headed for the largest landslide in American history. You're leading in the polls in every state but one. There's nothing of value at the Democrat National Committee for you to steal. Why would you approve a break-in at the Watergate Hotel or the Watergate office complex? The answer is you wouldn't. So the whole thing is a setup, but it does, I think, and I give J.D. Vance huge credit for this because he really started just that comment at the Nixon Library. And then, frankly, the folks at the Nixon Foundation, who back when I was arrested, they put out a statement saying that, well, Roger Stone was never in the administration. I never said I was. I worked in the 68 and 72 campaigns. And then in his post-presidential years, I worked very closely with the president and with Monica Crowley, who was his personal assistant, on scheduling and running down some political intelligence for the president, who had a voracious appetite for what was going on. He was always very forward-looking. That's when he gave me his famous recipe for a martini, that what he used to call a silver bullet. I'll go through that with you really quickly because it's kind of interesting. You take a bottle of olives, you drain the juice, you fill it with water, you shake it up, you drain the water, you fill it with vermouth, put it in the refrigerator. You've chilled a couple of glasses. Then you take the chilled bottle out of the refrigerator. You take out your cocktail shaker. You fill it with either vodka or gin. He was a gin man. I'm a vodka man. And he would say, you shake it very vigorously, very vigorously. If there aren't tiny shards of ice on the surface, well, that means you've effed it up. You then drop two of the marinated olives in, and you have what he called his favorite silver bullet. So after the first one, I said to him, Mr. President, this is really good. He said, yeah, I got the recipe from Winston Churchill. Now, that is a piece of history you can't get anywhere else.
Why do you think the young people, I mean, obviously he's now seen as a rebel, which he was. Why do the young people love him so much now, just as a way to be anti-establishment?
I think it's because he was an outsider. Like Trump, he was an outsider. I think they realize that the idea that, you know, that John Dean and Nick Ackerman, the phony former Watergate prosecutor, tries to pretend he's a law enforcement guy when he's a vicious partisan. This guy says, we know Nixon approved the break-in. We could just never prove it. Well, then you don't know it. Or Jill Wein-Volner, another one of the Watergate. These people are flipping out because they thought this door was shut. I can tell you this, that my two books on Nixon, Nixon's Secrets and Tricky Dick, The Rise, Fall, and Rise, Richard Nixon, have never sold as well as my book on the Kennedy assassination, the case against LBJ, the man who killed Kennedy, the case against LBJ, because for most Americans, unfortunately, the question of Nixon is like a settled question. He was a paranoid, he was a crook, he was evil, nothing else to see there. He's getting a second look now, and people, I think, that he was for peace and prosperity. Now, that's not to say they didn't make mistakes. John Connolly talked him into taking us off the gold standard, an egregious mistake. I highlight it in both of my books. So, look, I'm not saying that he was a saint. I'm not saying he was perfect. I'm not saying that everything he did on balance was good. But by and large, now at least his actual record is getting a review. And the reason I think young people believe that he was taken down by a deep state coup is they just saw them try the exact same thing on Donald Trump, and it didn't work. So if the left thought that Trump, like Nixon, was going to throw in the towel, well, they don't understand Donald Trump. But they also don't understand the power of the internet. Now, I am very grateful to Elon Musk. I'm a big fan of Elon Musk. I love Elon Musk. I'm a great fan to have my voice back on X, where I'm Roger J. Stone Jr. Yet I am, it's quizzical that I continue to lose followers. In other words, I'm out there. I say provocative and interesting things. You know me, Alex. Yet instead of gaining followers, I continue to lose followers. So I have to wonder whether the algorithms are working against me, or maybe some of the old staffers who were there back in the days when it was an instrument for cancellation. But you can follow me on X, Roger J. Stone Jr., Roger J. Stone, JRB, a great experiment, because the more audacious I am, the more truth telling I do on X, for some reason I don't gain views. I salute you, Alex, because you're getting record audiences on X. I think X is a great, great platform, although I don't like these recent updates. I do have to wonder why, when I get out there and start hitting the deep state, why I start losing followers rather than gaining them.
Well, that's how it works. If you go along with the establishment, you get boosted. And it's the same thing happens to us, but the listeners just fight through it and share the articles and videos because they know how important it is. But this has been a long fight. You know, some people get really pessimistic, and I get it too. I get it the same way. But I said at the start of the interview, they have to see how far we've moved the needle for populism, of nationalism. Yeah, the censorship's still happening there and here and in bad ways, but we're fighting back on that. I mean, humanity's found its fight, and that's a beautiful thing.
Look, I urge people to go to your website and buy your Nixon t-shirt. I am loving this Nixon maxing and the fact that we have a revival and a fair reexamination of the man's record as president. Yes, I didn't like wage and price controls. I didn't like takings off the gold standard. I did like ending the war in Vietnam. I did like a strategic arms limitation agreement with the Soviets. Yeah, I did like the desegregation of the schools. Richard Nixon appointed more African Americans to federal office than LBJ and JFK combined. We won't find that in the history books. They're not going to tell you that online. So, yes, I think this reexamination of Nixon is a great thing. I urge people who have already bought into the narrative that he was evil, he was crooked, he was paranoid, put that aside and look at Richard Nixon with fresh eyes, and you'll see that he was indeed among our greatest presidents.
Well, I mean, I've experienced corporate media's lies, and until you open the paper up and you read something that's 100% not true, and then they stack lies on top of lies, you don't realize how bad they lie. I mean, it's just so intense, the deception of these people when they come after somebody. It's real simple. If they're coming after somebody, you better believe that they're a lot better than those guys. I mean, they're perfect, but it means they're a lot better than the establishment. So, Roger, talk to you soon. God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for having me back.
All right, so Trump is looking at dropping nukes on Iran. We've got Matt Bracken talking about that with Mariano Fall, and more on the NDAA, then a bunch of domestic news, AI news, and more, all coming up today. Stay with us on this live Friday broadcast.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often there are things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Folks, Jason Burmes is loaded for bear. He's coming to the fourth hour. We got a lot of news and information and things to cover in the meantime on this live Friday global transmission. We obviously know what's happening and that Trump's totally panicked and now it's leaking out of the White House. It's throwing huge tantrums. I don't just believe that when I read it in the corporate news. This has been going on since about 30, 40 days into the war. And it's here in the news today, being reported by a bunch of publications. Trump's foul-mouthed Iran meltdown leaked as president in revenge mode as he runs out of options. And that's because interest rates just got raised and the economy's falling apart and inflation's huge and the Strategic Oil Reserve runs out in less than a week. The Chinese one's about to roll out. The EU reserve's about to run out. And they're now talking in the Wall Street Journal and Forbes about $160 a barrel oil. Woo! You talk about economy in shambles. But remember that panicker, Tulsi Gabbard warned Trump, and that panicker, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Kane, warned him. And the panicker, Alex Jones, said all that. But, you know, we're just informed know what we're talking about. We're the problem. We're not like a Laura Loomer or a Mark Levin or a Ben Shapiro. Notice Ben never gives you statistics. I played a clip of him last year. He's like, it's stupid. It's dumb. The NDAA Section 219 doesn't give Israel any power. It's nothing. They're just liars. Oh, AOC's against it, so it's liberal. Just a load of just terms. Notice when we talk about something, we give you the numbers. We show you the facts. We predict things. They come true. But the media, oh, Ben Shapiro, he's the smartest man in the world. He knows everything. He's like a god. He talks fast. Look how big his eyebrows are. And so for decades, they've, at the Pentagon, some of the elements of it have been pushing that we should be able to use tactical nuclear weapons whenever we want. And it's not like a real nuclear bomb. It's, no, it's okay. We're taking out bunkers or nuclear sites in Iran. That they've been talking for 20 years about hitting Iran with nukes. Now, why is that an even bigger problem? Well, even if it's a smaller nuclear weapon, when it detonates in the ground, and if you hit a nuclear site with it that's full of uranium, if the Iranians even dumb enough to leave it there, if that's in the area of the chain reaction, it creates the most deadly isotopes you can imagine. That's what really kills you if you're not killed in a direct blast. And with most hydrogen bombs, atomic bombs, they airburst, so they're pretty clean overall. There's a little bit of fallout. So you just don't want to eat the crops, for a few months or whatever, because it precipitates out, then it washes off. But when you have a nuclear reactor meltdown, then it's dirty. It's horrible. Well, a bomb is far worse when it hits the ground. In fact, if a hydrogen bomb, let's say, hit a cobalt mine or hit a cobalt depot, it would put enough deadly radiation in the atmosphere for no life on the surface for tens of thousands of years. I mean, we're talking about half-lives in the billions of years. Okay? So you can look this up for yourself. So if you bomb a radioactive facility, like let's say you bomb a nuclear reactor with a tactical nuke, and then when it detonates, everything around it, when during chain reaction, it depends on how the type of bomb and how big it is, but even the tactical nuke, we're talking tens of thousands of feet out from it, you're going to have chain reaction, and anything metal, anything that it gobbles up, it's going to throw off these horrible isotopes. The worst is something like cobalt. But you also detonate a bunch of uranium or plutonium, it does something really nasty too. In fact, some estimates are it could potentially trigger more nuclear explosions in the chain reaction. So there's that issue with it, and then there's the bigger issue. If you start using nuclear weapons and saying, well, these are just tactical, it's okay for us to, you now have set the precedent that other countries can say, hey, you used a tactical nuke, we can too, and that accelerates up the escalatory ladder, as we've talked about so much. So we've had a lot of floating, use regular hydrogen bombs on Iran by Lindsey Graham and by Netanyahu and by Ben-Gavir and by all the usual suspects, Mark Levin. But now we've got the Pentagon saying, yeah, we want to drop bunker busters on these, not just this one nuclear site, but a whole bunch of them, starting with Pickaxe Mountain. And then once we blow a big hole in it with these bunker busters, then we'll drop the tactical end so it doesn't just explode on the surface and dissipate. Anybody knows an explosion, you know, that's why you'll have a little bit of explosive in a hand grenade jacketed by steel, and then it explodes because it's contained the explosion. It makes it bigger. Trump vows U.S. will strike Iran's Pickaxe Mountain pretty soon over suspected nuclear activity. And here's Matt Bracken with Mario DeFolger today talking about the talk of using the nukes. And, you know, he mainly focuses on the fact that this is all science fiction sounding and has just been as a political distraction from us getting embroiled in this fiasco. And that's part of it. And that's why how Trump's looking at it is like, oh, it's like Midnight Hammer. Look at our big victory. We're keeping you safe, to make it about we're there because of nukes. That's the reason we're there, not regime change. Yeah, that's the cosmetic reason this is going on. But the Pentagon and some of the hawks up there want this to set the precedent to use nukes. And Katie barred the door once that door is open. Here's the clip.
I was listening or following some accounts on X, and they're talking about, well, in order for the small tactical nuclear bomb to work on Pickaxe Mountain, they first have to create a hole with these bunker busters, because the tactical nuclear bomb, if it's just hitting the surface, won't work. So we have to first blast the hole with the bunker buster, and then the next thing puts the tactical nuclear bomb straight into the hole to take out whatever it is that's supposed to be inside of Pickaxe Mountain. And it just sounds like Hollywood is now writing the script. I mean, it's a total dislocation from reality, completely. But that's what, you know, we're following in America. We're shaping up for the big attack on Pickaxe Mountain. A Disney
Why
movie.
Pickaxe Mountain? Alexander from the Duran, I had him on the show a couple hours ago, and he said something interesting. He's like, Mario, have you noticed how Pickaxe Mountain came out of nowhere? What's the point of Pickaxe Mountain? It's unrelated to the Strait of Hormuz, has no strategic benefits to the U.S. If there's any, I don't know, enrichment, centrifuges in there, etc., but that is really not the issue here. That is not the objective of the war. The MOU has concessions when it comes to the nuclear program, but they haven't even reached those discussions, those negotiations. The issue seems to be the Strait of Hormuz. So why the hell did we add Pickaxe Mountain into the mix? What's the thinking behind it?
Possibly, you know, and Brandon Weikert says, you know, if you're looking for rationality to bail us out, like, nobody would be that crazy. It's completely irrational. We're in a post-rational decision process in America when you have people like Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth, that are the chief advisors to Trump. I think that it may possibly be the idea might be, as an exit strategy, we have to have some victory. So if we drop 100 bunker busters, or God forbid, we drop bunker busters followed by a tactical nuclear weapon into Pickaxe Mountain, which could be empty for all I know. It could have no meaning whatsoever. It's like Top Gun Maverick. It's a Hollywood concoction, right? It's just a narrative to spin to the American audience that they can then say, we blew up Pickaxe Mountain. We have solved the Iranian nuclear problem forever. They will never rebuild it in 100 years, and now we're leaving. That's like my best case scenario for why they would do this, because clearly, you know, when people say we're going to end the Iran's nuclear threat, well, you can't do that because the knowledge is there. You know, the threat is in the knowledge, the engineers. You can't turn the clock back to 1944. You know, the information is out there. If you destroyed every centrifuge in Iran, they can build more centrifuges. or they can get the nuclear material from Pakistan or North Korea. You know, the Israelis, their bombs at Dimona came from Pennsylvania. The uranium was left on the back loading dock of a facility in Pennsylvania where somebody forgot to close the gate and lock the door. Oh my goodness, these canisters are left on the loading dock. How did they wind up in Israel? Let's never have an investigation. So that it was handed to Israel. I'm not saying that, you know, the president of the USA was in on that decision, but essentially whatever forces Israel had in the USA opened the doors and the physical material was just handed to Israel. And this is not lost on the Iranians or anybody else in the area. You know, now Rubio is talking about starting a nuclear program with Saudi Arabia, which is not lacking for energy. They still have a lot of petroleum there. It's not like they're running out of petroleum to run power plants. So everybody in the Middle East knows the USA gave Israel the bomb, whether the president knew it or not. The door was left open, and the next thing you know, wow, Israel has atomic weapons, and they're not part of any of it, of any of the international programs. They never admitted it. But the other day, Netanyahu went down to Dimona and said, oh, I'm at the textile factory, which is like, wink, wink. You know, and then suddenly the submarine surfaces in the Gulf of Aqaba around the corner from the Suez Canal with and it's widely reported, oh, it has a dozen nuclear tipped cruise missiles, you know, just happens to be lurking there near Iran. So we're in an era when the narrative is running everything and reality doesn't have much to do with anything. So possibly they're going to claim, we don't even know if any of this happens, right? Because the thing about a B-2 bomber, for example, it's invisible, right? So if an invisible B-2 bomber drops invisible bombs on an imaginary, you know, fantasy mountain, you can say whatever. You can say we dropped 100 bombs down the same hole and wiped out the Iranian nuclear program. And maybe there was no B-2 bomber at all because it's invisible. You can't prove it was there or not there because it's invisible. So I don't know what's going to happen with Pickaxe Mountain, but it just sounds like a complete Hollywood fantasy to me. It's like they're creating a Top Gun Maverick, mm-hmm. you know, to feed the American audience.
There's another report that came out today that, according to Bloomberg, some Gulf officials are advocating for escalating the war and even conducting some sort of ground operation to get a decisive end to it and force Iran to give up their control of the Strait of Hormuz. So that's unconfirmed. First, do you think it's true? Do you think some Gulf countries are actually advocating for a ground operation by Iran? Because obviously Iran would retaliate.
Gulf countries or Gulf, you know, Gulf countries, meaning their population or Gulf leaders?
No, Gulf officials, not even leaders.
So between the leaders and the population are officials, which are like unnamed. So it can just be like a leak for the purpose of a narrative. Didn't somebody from Jordan recently fly to London? Well, there was in the 1950s, there was a King Faisal, not Faisal, excuse me, King Farouk in Egypt. And he took a vacation in London and he never came home. And Colonel Nasser had a bloodless coup, kind of like Gaddafi, a bloodless coup. And King Farouk spent the rest of his remaining life like the Shah of Iran in exile and luxury. And I think that a lot of the Gulf states, what did Colonel McGregor calls them, statelets? You know, they're creations. And the leaders of them who are, you know, paid with cash in bank deposits and look, Qatar just gifted a 747 to Trump, which he was foolish enough to accept because this is like getting down to your level. This is like, here, have my daughter, have my prize racehorse. Here, have this dagger covered with diamonds. Here, have a 747. This is not how American presidents are supposed to act, right? But here, have a suitcase with €1 million in it. or having look, check your bank account in Switzerland. It just went up by zeros. So a lot of these statelets that, as McGregor calls them, the leaders of them have are probably telling their pilots, keep that Gulfstream 5 fueled up because I might be running out there in the helicopter and we're out of there in 5 minutes. You know, we're at that point where if, for example, the desalinization plants start getting hit in these countries, the people can't get out and maybe the leader gets out. The king gets out, you know, the king Farouk gets out. But what about his cabinet and what about his officials that are making these statements about, oh, we're going to now go to war against Iran? I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's an excellent clip. That's why I played a long clip. I mean, it's what's happening. And I hate watching this slow motion train wreck, but we have to focus on it. It's crazy. And Trump knows that he doesn't have an off ramp. And the Iranians are going to be belligerent because they know if they're not, they're just going to continue to have a peace deal, and then Israel and the U.S. attack them again later, and it just never ends. So they're to the point of, we don't believe in any negotiations, there's total war, we don't want ceasefires, let's just have a war. And they've been saying that for months, and Trump acts like, oh, they're begging for a deal. Oh, yeah, they're really coming to the table. None of it's true. The folks that go and do the envoy work, Vance and Witkoff, come back and say, no, the Iranians won't even meet with us. And we meet with the Pakistanis and others. And so it's just verifiably not true. And so Trump's throwing fits at the White House. I mean, I understand he's banging his head against the wall with a problem that Israel manipulated him into, and it isn't going away, and it's getting worse. And there's nothing like a problem that just keeps happening over and over and over again and gets worse and worse and worse. And the more you try to make it better, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. It's worse. They call it Chinese water torture. And the universe loves that. It's its favorite thing. And the more you fight against it, the worse it's going to get. No, there'll be no rest. There'll be no. So we're going to feel the pain. We already do. You think inflation's bad now? Now, there is starting to get a lot of friction with the public. And, again, you've got everybody from Glenn Beck to Bill O'Reilly to Laura Ingraham coming out and saying, okay, you did a good job so far. Now it's time to end it right now. Okay, declare victory and say bye-bye. And I saw people commenting on Beck going, look at him kissing Trump's ass. Rex called him a Zionist lobster because Beck's like got red skin like I do, got a suntan. And, I mean, okay, Beck's not anti-Israel. People are brought up that way. Israel didn't used to be as bad as it is now. I don't have to hate people that are, like, you know, pro-Israel or whatever. I'm not anti-Israel. I just don't like Israel being run by lunatics. I mean, Ben-Gvir really runs Israel now, their national security head. They admit that. And I mean, in the same day, he's like, I've got this death chamber where I kill people now at this base we built. Let me take you outside. I put crocodiles in here to eat people. And like, it's not a joke. He doesn't know how crazy it looks, but he does. He's like, I want to scare people. I like to terrify people. And then, in the same day, he goes and storms Al-Aqsa Mosque with 4,000 people. And then, you know, before that, he's, oh, we caught some people trying to ship rice in on a flotilla. And then on TV, he slaps women in the face and knocks them to the ground that are in handcuffs. A big fat dude slapping women on TV. Like, it's just like, because he can. I mean, is he auditioning for the remake of Dune to be Baron Harkonnen? And you got to love the Dracula teeth. I mean, look at the eyes. You cannot, every video of him is like this. I mean, it'd be hilarious if it wasn't so serious. I mean, look at this guy. Good God. That's who runs Israel right now. Megalomaniac, completely disconnected from reality, totally psychopathic. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Oh, and there's the finance minister 2 days ago. Oh, this is ideal. Americans killing for us. We don't have to do anything. Yeah, it's destroying the economy. That's great. At least it hurts our end, too. It's kind of like Longshanks in Braveheart. And he says, fire with the archers is into the whole army. And he goes, well, sir, our army's there, too. They're battling. We'll kill our own people. And he goes, well, we'll get them, too. I mean, what must it be like to be in that head? Like, you look like a jack-o'-lantern. You look completely psychotic. You run around and beat women that are handcuffed on TV for no reason. You have crocodiles in a torture facility where you kill people. And Israel's got, like, what is it, 30, 40,000 kids they grab every year, as young as five. They take off the torture centers. And, I mean, just God knows. I just know I support all this because I don't want to go to hell. In fact, the Bible says do whatever the entire leadership of Israel says, and if you don't, you're going to hell. Again, that means Herod, who cut John the Baptist's head off. John the Baptist deserved to have his head cut off, and John the Baptist is in hell. Herod is in heaven, and Jesus went against the government of Israel. He was killed too, and you got to say, well, you don't go against the government of Israel, you go to hell. So Jesus is in hell according to, it actually says that in the Babylonian Talmud. It actually says Jesus is in hell bathing in feces and semen, boiling feces and semen, because he challenged the rabbis. I guess it's really the government of Israel. Now, the argument is for the rabbis is you can find any rabbi saying whatever you want at any time. And that's true, too. There's lots of nice stuff rabbis have written, too. I've read a lot of it, but there's some that are crazy and that happen to be in charge right now. And they got crocodiles and torture centers and stuff like that. Look at these guys. I don't think the elevator goes all the way to the top right there. So, but at least Ben-Gavir is always happy. I know this. He can go out for Halloween without even having to put on an outfit because he does have Count Dracula teeth. So that's always a good sign. Count Crocodile Man. I'm trying to think of a name for Ben-Gavir. Absolutely hilarious. If he wasn't so dangerous. Oh my God. Help us, Lord. It's like looking at Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un looks like a little fat demon too, but not as creepy as Ben-Gavir. There's a creep factor with him waddling around. All right. I'm going to go to break and I'm going to come back and we'll look at interest rates going up. We'll look at the economy. We'll look at the Democrats, Democratic Socialists. I haven't gotten to the AI news. It's really big. AI is doing its biggest feats of breaking out of things and breaking into things now. We got these big corporate and Pentagon studies of it, and they're admitting it's already out of control and out of their grasp. So that's a pretty big report we're going to be getting to. And then Elon Musk did a powerful interview with The Economist and just absolutely tore this lady to pieces. So we've got a lot of that coming up next hour as well. Be sure and follow me on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble. Rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. And if you want to keep us on the air and want to get some cool t-shirts and incredible supplements that will change your life, then go to thealexjones.com. If you don't, well, don't worry. Mondami's just going to come soon enough and shove a gun in your mouth and take everything you got. So either support those that fight for you or roll over and die.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha.
you have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We definitely sleepwalking into this, you know, basically Holocaust of entire humanity, because we are in the World War III and everything is set up, you know, long time ago. We already in the hot war, and this hot war set everything. There is a single incident, single false flag unneeded to spark it. And then, as you said, it would be even too late to go to the southern hemisphere, because definitely will not help, because any tabletop games, you know, and simulation shows if there is a false flag and there is a open Russia-NATO conflict, within an hour it goes to the nuclear exchange. And hope that the hotline between Kremlin and the White House will work. But I'm not sure, because with the position of the Trump and flip-flopping every time, definitely Russian leadership lost a confidence that he is calling the shot in the White House. Eventually, they need to call maybe Bibi and said, hey, you know, hold this one, otherwise, you know, everybody gonna die. I'm not sure who is in charge now. But at the same time, for us, Alex, now, at least we see the faces and we understand their setup. At least we know who is enemy of the humanity, who is pushing the 99.5% of the world population to the extermination. And it now depends on the position, as you said, you know, of everybody who gonna say, hey, and ask himself the question, do I want to die in the nuclear war? Do I want to see my children, my country, everything I was standing for, to go through it? Who brought it to us? What kind of the conflict was there which we can't settle by the negotiations? It's the same true for the Ukraine war. It's the same true for the Iranian conflict.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now into hour number two of this global transmission. You are the Paul Revere's. You are Team Humanity. If you don't want to be in a global depression and a thermal nuclear war, with the new bioweapon releases, lockdowns, AI enslavement, robot overlords in the air and on the ground and the sea, you better listen. Because everything I've warned of for years exactly is happening. Everything Tulsi Gabbard and Joe Kent warned of 150 days ago, 5 days before Israel struck Iran and drug us in. And now we've got Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir and Smotrich, their finance minister. I played the clip last hour saying this is ideal. The Americans are doing it all and paying for it. We started it. And now we keep the straight clothes and it hurts Iran. No mention of the world. No mention of the fertilizer cutoff. No mention of the UN even estimating 50 million will starve to death with current numbers next year, with a third of the world's fertilizer not going through. Half the U.S. farmers, the Farm Bureau reports, couldn't even buy fertilizer. It costs too much. Or the diesel. Russia stopped exporting diesel. Much of their energy system's blown up. Much of our energy system's now been destroyed or disrupted. And if you look at Matt Bracken's map, and we got even more interactive ones, that's an energy war. 500 kilometers from Ukraine and Western Russia right down to Iran, the Strait of Hormuz is 500 kilometers, 700 total. That's an energy war right there, and that affects you. Trump promised to cut energy prices in half. Gasoline is double. Diesel's more than double. Electricity, 18% increase. This is a new world war, and we've gone up in the threat escalation ladder. New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, all said the war has escalated to full war. Many experts calling it a new world war. All the ingredients, major powers lined up against each other, multi-front wars, mass death, infrastructure of civilians being taken out, with robots doing most of it. We'll be back. And sea drones.
We'll be back.
We aren't just a new world war. We are literally in a...
Jones Show, uncovering the truth from the American heartland.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
The war has escalated to full war. Many experts calling it a new world war. All the ingredients, major powers lined up against each other, multi-front wars, mass death, infrastructure of civilians being taken out, with robots doing most of it, air and sea drones. We aren't just a new world war. We are literally in a Terminator movie for real. And there's a normalcy bias. People just sleepwalk into this. I'm a very aware, awake person. Even I sleepwalk. Even I just sit back sometimes and go, God, you should be more upset. But there's the feeling of helplessness and there's no surety by design. Trump said they're out of missiles. Oh yeah, they're out of missiles. Pentagon said they got 70%+ left and they're making more. The Pentagon didn't lie to Trump. Pentagon told him don't do it 150 days ago, but he did it 144 days ago. And now the Pentagon wants hundreds of billions more. It's costing $2.3 billion a day we know of. You know it's way more than 100 casualties. Whole barracks complexes blown up. They tell you three died. You're being lied to, ladies and gentlemen. Pentagon out of money. Red Sea blockade now starting. Pentagon sinking billions in Iran war, quickly running short on cash. U.S. strikes unlikely to move Iran, U.S. intelligence reports. The Defense Intelligence Agency, all the major military intelligence agencies said, this isn't going to make the mullahs fall. They told them that the week before, and Trump wasn't going to attack, so Netanyahu struck, and he's since bragged about it. So, I already played the clips, so I'm not going to play them again, but if Victor hadn't seen it, I'll play it. I got Ben-Gavir, I got Smotrich, I got them all saying, we're not leaving Lebanon, and by the way, you work for us, and we're going to take over your military with the Defense Authorization Act. We're going to primary anybody that doesn't like it. And we love keeping the strait closed because that's going to hurt the Iranian people. Even though the Pentagon says they'll just starve it out like the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s. And there's no discussion of what it's doing to everybody else. This is beyond sick. And then, if that nightmare isn't bad enough, there's one even worse. NATO and all their weapons factories shipping in more deadly drones and missiles. Thousands of attacks on Russia, hundreds on Moscow a week, blowing up their energy system. Oh, Russia is just a country or a gas station that's a country. Oh, yeah, like we are. And now their exports have been cut massively, which, again, hurts everybody. But not BlackRock, not the globalists. And they now are bragging. Oh, yeah, this is great. We're getting our great reset. Victor Boot joins us. That's my opening statement here. But we sit here and talk about the point of return the last few months, and I think we're basically crossing it now. Trump is leaning towards ground invasion of the entire Strait of Hormuz, which will be an unmitigated disaster. And then Trump said he increased bombing of Iran because some of our soldiers got killed. So I guess when they put them on the beach and they're all getting killed, well, we'll have to nuke them, won't we? And just hope Pakistan doesn't nuke as they said they would. Hope Russia just sits there. Hope China. It's just roll the dice. Megalomaniacs. Running around, foaming at the mouth. That's who runs our countries. And look in the mirror, folks. And you know it. The people running the Western governments are psychotic. The unelected EU. The national draft being set up. Victor Boot. Real Victor Boot on X. Former political prisoner, businessman, soldier. Well known. Called the merchant of death by our corporate media, of course. It's absolute, just normal BS. Very smart guy. Also national leader, elected official. Victor, you just heard my rant. I mean, at this point, I can't believe this is even continuing. But we predicted it all. It's just continuing to escalate. So I guess we should talk about what's currently happening. And then you know even more than I do. I tell me if I'm wrong. But it looks like now we're off to the races. And if anybody wants to flee to the Southern Hemisphere, now's the time to do it. But if there's a full nuclear war, it'll just be like road warrior down there. So I guess it's better just to die here quickly. I mean, I'm serious. That's just where we are is commit ourselves to God and just get ready for this. Or should people start civil disobedience and do what I did to get the Clintons out, where I've had people screaming at them in events, calling them rapists, which they were, and that had a big effect. I mean, is it time? You know, is it time for the citizens to pull legal and lawful stunts to stop this? You know, can the Russians do national address to the world and warn everybody? I think people would listen to that. Because it seems like we're all just sleepwalking into total doom. Victor, I know I have you on as a guest, and I'm ranting. I am just beside myself. Then I see the foaming at the mouth, crazy eyes of the Israelis bragging how we're their slaves, bragging how they're in control, bragging how it hurts everyone but them, bragging how they're going to take all these countries. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I guess, you know, anybody in the position who see the full picture would exactly like you ranting, because we definitely sleepwalking into this, you know, basically Holocaust of entire humanity, because we are in the World War III and everything is set up, you know, long time ago, a part of the economical reset, which we talk, look, it's artificially and very well planned, not only pandemic, which will start running, six years ago, but now we see artificially orchestrated hunger. As you said, even in United States, farmers can't afford to buy enough fertilizer. Okay, count how much it will reduce the production of the wheat, soybeans, corn. Now, the same situation, because of heat and climate condition in France, they have a huge shortages of the produce. They will have definitely not the harvest of the grain like they expected. This apply for different other countries. Plus, because of Hormuz Strait was closed, there is a shortage of fertilizer in Africa, in Southeast Asia. So this is a huge, as you said, but it's a slow in process, because it will hit maybe by the fall, maybe by the early winter, you know, real shortage of the foodstuff when we run out of the reserves. And this is number one. Second, as you mentioned, why on earth Ukrainians, well, I'm saying Ukrainians because definitely they received an order to start attacking on the refineries, trying to cut off I absolutely convinced it was not for military purpose. They wanted that Russia would not export. So the price of the fuel will spike. They want to really bring to cliff the economy, world economy, and just push it. And this is what's happening right now. And as you said, the Israelis are in this situation, instead of saying, oh, hold on, why we need to push America for this? Because they are in the neighborhood, and doesn't matter what, you know, they will feel the consequences very quick. And if they are not attacking Iran and Iran choose not to attack Israel, doesn't mean if they're going to support the newest attack of United States on Iranian infrastructure, they definitely will get the answer. Because Iranians always do, you know, eye by eye. If you hurt, you know, the infrastructure or electrical grid there, they're attacking. And I guess very, you know, efficiently. American interest in the area. So where are we going? You're absolutely right. We're already in the hot war. And this hot war set everything. There is a single incident, single false flag unneeded to spark it. And then, as you said, it would be even too late to go to the southern hemisphere, because definitely will not help, because any tabletop games, you know, and simulation shows if there is a false flag and there is a open Russia-NATO conflict, within an hour it goes to the nuclear exchange. And hope that the hotline between Kremlin and the White House will work, but I'm not sure, because with the position of the Trump and flip-flopping every time, definitely Russian leadership lost a confidence that he is calling the shot in the White House. Eventually, they need to call maybe Bibi and said, hey, you know, hold this one. Otherwise, you know, everybody gonna die. I'm not sure who is in charge now. But at the same time, for us, Alex, now, at least we see the faces and we understand their setup. At least we know who is enemy of the humanity, who is pushing the 99.5% of the world population to the extermination. And it now depends on the position, as you said, you know, of everybody who gonna say, hey, and ask himself the question, do I want to die in the nuclear war? Do I want to see my children, my country, everything I was standing for, to go through it? Who brought it to us? What kind of the conflict was there which we can't settle by the negotiations? It's the same true for the Ukraine war. It's the same true for the Iranian conflict. If you look on it, well, what's stopping the United States to really go further than the Memorandum of Understanding? It's passed already so many days, but it was not even a working groups to prepare text of the peace agreement. So either it was just from get-go a decision from the Trump administration just to win a pause to go through the, you know, 4th of July celebration and the World Cup. And when it's all over, immediately, a couple of days later, even the World Cup not yet finished, they went to, again, you know, to attacking Iran. That's really, really, you know, strange coincidence. But on my book, definitely, globalist, this in the final, you know, attempt to orchestrate this war, and because they feel they have the last chance to do it.
Well, here's the good news, and they even admit this, as you know. They orchestrated COVID, created the hype, ran it out of the UN and out of the White House and all of it with the World Economic Forum, got caught, blew up in their face, caused massive mistrust in them, and they'd always said, we'll use a disease X for control or a war or a financial collapse, and now they're wrapping it all together. So the good news is the globalists did fail in their permanent lockdown that they wanted to basically, you know, keep in place forever. It backfired. So they're not invincible, but when it comes to all-out war, you said it, the last ingredient is a false flag, and Joe Kent alluded to that. He said there's about to be a big mass casualty event, and when that happens, the push will be for total war. He was on the show yesterday. And, of course, he's veiling it a bit, but clearly the next ingredient is Israel to set off a nuke or something and say Iran did it or something along those lines. And you see the confidence of Israel and the wild-eyedness when everything's stacked against them. They got an ace card up the sleeve, and I'm telling you, I think it's a nuclear false flag, Victor.
Well, it's well maybe, because at least now we know that the Israelis are in the front line of the globalist attack on the humanity. And this way we, you know, if you would say this like 5 years ago, you would say, no, they're just trying to keep, You know, they are surrounded by the enemies. They are surviving. They are, you know, a very vibrant democracy. But right now we see how everything transformed so quick right in front of our eyes. As we discussed with you, I think we are, as we speak, we are living in an era when the democracy would be dead before we know it. Because, you know, election become like, oh, you know, forget about election. Why we need to give our power back, you know? We need to create a scenario where we declare the martial law, we grab the power, and then, you know, we declare a dictatorship.
And that's what that's the EU's doing, and that's what Zelensky's done, and that's
correct.
Trump said, as you mentioned, 6 months ago, I like that idea. So let's just pull back. You're a smart guy, and I'm asking you, looking at this, when I look at the Israeli leadership's behavior, and I watched their body language carefully, these guys for years, they are all acting like they're not putting on a confidence game. They're acting megalomaniacal, like they got, wait till you see this. And I just, when I look at it, because the final piece is how I make decisions is I have a bunch of facts, bunch of numbers, history, past behavior. Then I look at body language, and I watch long speeches of these guys. I watch them talking to people on the street, stuff they don't think I'm watching on Israeli TV, local news. They are all looking like they are supervillains. I'm telling you, they got something sneaky up their sleeve. Obviously, you keep bringing up false flags. I'm not putting words in your mouth. Obviously, you agree with that. What do you think it is, and what should we be on the lookout for? And is there some magic, nonviolent, political bullet that could, you would Trump with the opposition in Israel, or maybe he's totally controlled, just acts like he doesn't want to be controlled? I mean, how do we put the brakes on Israel that has the dominant lobby that controls Congress? Because, I mean, it does go back to Israel. Like you said, 5 years ago, yeah, Israel does some dirty tricks. They're not perfect, but they're surrounded, and, you know, they're a great little democracy. I'm not really for it, but I don't want to blow them up. I wish they'd behave. Now they're literally beating their chests like King Kong on top of the Empire State Building and bragging, aha, the Americans are fighting and dying for us. It's going to destroy them and destroy the, you know, the Straits closed. That's hurting the Iranians. This is perfect. We love it. I mean, they're up there laughing and Ben-Gavir's stomping around saying we're taking all of Lebanon and going into detainees and beating them up on TV and going, look at my gas chambers. We're going to kill everybody in these. I mean, I tune in. It's like cartoon level. They're obviously gone. They're like demon possessed or something. What the hell's going on here?
Well, first of all, let's imagine this scenario where how they can trigger, how they can put the false flag. Well, I guess for them really to push United States into all-out war and using the nukes, well, for them, the best scenario, orchestrate again the event which would be very close to the level at least of 9/11. Whether it would be with a, you know, kind of the improvised, you know, explosive device with a nuclear, you know, like a dirty bomb in United States for one ship and blame it on Iran. And then this would be outrage, and without thinking they would go nuclear over the Iran. So this, of course, will trigger Pakistan, China, Russia also to respond. And this is where, you know, then there is all, you know, breaks off and we are in unpredictable zone. And God save us if that time the direct quick telephone conversation will stop it right there. But as you correctly mentioned, Israelis have got their fifth column within United States, and it's not only the, you know, the OPEC who is strongest lobby in United States, but also Christian Zionists who are now basically, at least, you know, they declaring that they can take bullet for the Israel or die for interest of the, you know, Jewish people, because this is a God chosen people. And this all elements, when you start to carefully analyzing them, telling us, yes, we are basically right on the verge of this event. And we need to be not extremely careful. But the main question is now what we can do to stop it. Because merely exposure, like it works even several years ago, when you expose something before they're planning something, usually they will just decide, oh, never mind, we never plan it, we never this, because if you, you know, expose them at the right moment, you destroy their plan. Right now, as you mentioned, they're megalomaniacs, And for them, whether you expose them or not, they're already in a such state of mind. They don't care whether you expose them or not. They just, like those lunatics, they go, you know, as a, you know, amok onto the target. They fix on it. And there is no logic. You can't argue with them. They already decided and they go for it. So the only way, I think, you know, this is the right moment for humanity to see what is the best way, how we can stop it. Because now the issue is survival of humanity. It's not any more issue. Well, yeah, there is would be conflict. You know, there is a certain interest. There is economy. Because believe me, if everything goes with the way it's going, within 6 months, there would be no economy. There is would be no international trade. There is would be destroyed financial system. And how it affects each of us? Well, very simple. Think of this. There is would be no supply of the medicine. There is would be shortages with electricity, shortages of all equipment we depend now on. And then basically, and you mentioned it like what, 10, 15 years ago. Think what will happen if the big megapolises will stay without electricity. In 3 days, all civilization and humanity is over.
Victor, stay there. And here's what's so sad. We're not even being strong enough here. It's worse than we're saying. We're at the worst period humanity's ever been right now. We are on the verge of total destruction.
When the deep state removed Richard Nixon back in 1974, he had the highest approval rating of any president since they started doing approval ratings in the last 100-plus years. And so now there's this rediscovery of Nixon, and he's certainly anti-establishment. So we have an entire line of Nixon 2028 shirts that are extremely triggering to libtards and others. And so many other incredible designs now available at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, visit the site, the very best supplements, amazing methylene blue, the best bovine colostrum, collectible coins, the very best water filtration, highest ratings for showers and for your drinking water. All of it is symbiotic. All of it's a win-win. All of it is great. All of it empowers you and it funds our operation. Please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, share our new news site with the live video feeds, the archive feeds, the videos, the special reports, the articles at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates of the Second American Revolution worldwide at alexjoneslive.com. And follow me on X at Real Alex Jones on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. You're the Paul Revere's. Tell them where the resistance is right now. You've got all the power. When you take action, you're unstoppable. I salute you and I thank you. Now take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Fucking Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, we're at the end of a cycle. It's a mega turning, fourth turning. All the top futurist sociologists, futurist experts have predicted this. The globalists admit this is happening, and their old system's coming to an end. At the last three world government summits, remember when they denied world government at Davos, Elon Musk video linked in on Zoom and said, look, I've met with most of you. I know you want to have a big war. You want to have a new outbreak. You want to use something like that to bring down the old system, bring in the new. You cannot do a big war with 10 billion people and nuclear weapons. And he said, we got to transcend this cycle, and the elites have to stop using crises to get more control. And a lot of you've already abandoned ship and are just trying to hoard money and run off to the middle of nowhere. And he told them all this, and that's not going to work. Your wealth is worth nothing if you don't stabilize civilization. And that's what Musk, at least on certain levels, has been doing. Though if he doesn't give the Pentagon all the satellites running a bunch of this, he knows he'll be thrown out instantly. is a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you love Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time-released with all the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with methylene blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients. Ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask them what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the Methylene Red when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now. Methylene Red Capsules, introducing those. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxify and go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with ultimate energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration, it is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776. In muscle shirts, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. Super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like, and it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars of 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar, the Alex Jones Store.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, we're at the end of a cycle. It's a mega turning, fourth turning. All the top futurists, sociologists, futurist experts have predicted this. The globalists admit this is happening, and their old system's coming to an end. At the last three world government summits, remember when they denied world government at Davos, Elon Musk video linked in on Zoom and said, look, I've met with most of you. I know you want to have a big war. You want to have a new outbreak. You want to use something like that to bring down the old system, bring in the new. You cannot do a big war with 10 billion people and nuclear weapons. And he said, we got to transcend this cycle, and the elites have to stop using crises to get more control. And a lot of you have already abandoned ship and are just trying to hoard money and run off to the middle of nowhere. I mean, he told them all this, and that's not going to work. Your wealth is worth nothing if you don't stabilize civilization. And that's what Musk, at least on certain levels, has been doing, though if he doesn't give the Pentagon all the satellites running a bunch of this, he knows he'll be thrown out instantly. But at least he's said and done things rhetorically and, you know, tried to dial things back. And I'm not even lionizing Musk. I'm trying to explain to people, Victor Boot is very respected in Russia and around the world. He's not stupid. He's telling you what I'm telling you. I'm not dumb. And I already had the Pentagon report predicting all this, and I knew it was an accurate report because I know about the Strait of Hormuz and what the Iranians are going to do, and that all the past presidents wanted to go in there, and Israel wanted us to, and they all said no because the Pentagon said it's worse than Vietnam, 10 times worse than Iraq. It's got all these weapons, 93 million people surrounded by mountains. They'll close the damn Strait of Hormuz. If we build side pipelines, they'll just blow those up. And obviously the Russians and Chinese are giving them satellite guidance. And when we bitch about it, what do you think we're doing to them? That's what wars are like. When you walk up and punch somebody in the goddamn nose, they attack you back. And we are attacking people that have got thermonuclear weapons and submarines off our coast. And then the idiots call and go, we got submarines too. Yeah, we'll all die. Since we had mutually assured destruction, we almost killed each other a couple times, but it was never this close. The International Atomic Scientists Group agrees. The RAND Corporation agrees. Everyone agrees. I talked to military, high-level, low-level, special operations. 99% of them are against this. About 90% were against it when it started. They were just hoping it'd last 4 days, but they knew it wouldn't. Our military is against this. Okay? But they're there following their orders. And Hegg says to true believers, which makes it even more dangerous. He actually believes all this messianic stuff. And I mean, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in his interpretation. And so when I'm ranting here with Victor Boot, I need to get out of my comfort zone. You need to get out of your normalcy bias. What's a normalcy bias? Guys, tell them the definition of a normalcy bias. Throw it on screen. It's when you live in normalcy so long that when bad things happen, you don't know how to respond. The dodo bird's the perfect example. Out there on that island, never had a predator. Was all dead in a few years because the sailors would pull up. You could conk one on the head, bigger than a turkey, and they wouldn't even run. And one day they ate the final one. Well, I'm not a dodo bird, folks, and you shouldn't be a dodo bird. And the Russians lost 26 million people in World War II, the biggest death toll. They certainly are not dodo birds because they have it fresh in their memory of losing, what, a third of their population. When I sit here and I tell you this, I mean, I guess I should go back to Victor and just stop talking about the problems. As we all know, we predicted it. It's rapidly escalating. There isn't much more to escalate. We are in a minefield. We are in a fireworks factory with a flamethrower turned on. We're in a fireworks factory with a bunch of crazy monkeys on PCP running around with flamethrowers and hand grenades. Okay? And our elites have a normalcy bias. Trump is at the World Cup ceremony refusing to leave the stage. And then saying he wants the photo op and then smiling and leaving. I mean, that's frontal lobe dementia. I'm sure he's got it now. You have cognitive operations, but you have judgment problems and you start acting like a mean little kid. Okay. I've had family, the great people, usually happens to men. And the last year or two of their life, it's like you're with an evil 4 year old. Okay. And Trump is almost at the evil 4 year old level. And so I'll just say this, if the problem, and I'm going to ask Victor this, the problem is the Iranians know they have most of the cards. They want us out. We won't do that. They want $300 billion. So I think they should have discretion here because it's the unstoppable force, the immovable object. They're asking for things that they can't get, but I understand their position. I understand they say Trump doesn't run things. Israel will just sabotage it. So I guess their position is let's just go down swinging. I know I'm ranting. The time we have, I apologize. I don't want to just hand-wring here, but I don't see an off-ramp now. And the Israel lobby is so strong. Vance says he'd stop the war. Do we 25th Amendment Trump? The problem is the Democrats act like they're against the war, but they're on the AIPAC tit, too. They actually haven't stopped it, though they finally voted the current defense authorization down. because they want to report on the war and because of the Israel deal. So I guess the answer is a bipartisan coalition, and we 25th Amendment Trump, and I guess that's what has to be done. Victor, what do you think?
Well, I guess majority of Republicans or Democrats, for matter of this fact, been installed by the same, you know, group who, whether you call it swamp or deep state, and they're controlling all these guys who are pretending to be independent politicians. So that's why we don't see any attempt, or at least organized attempt, to impeach the Trump, or at least to bring the, you know, bill on the floor to limit all the capacity to start the war, because the Trump playing this, you know, pony show, telling, oh, it's only for a couple of days, then I stop, then, you know, there is a legal loopholes, I don't need ask the Congress for authorization or for the military action because it's less than 60 days and the polls is not counting. So this is in the one, you know, side of this story, but that's not only important one. Definitely Trump is not the final person who taking the decision. Yes, there is a huge Israeli lobby. You're absolutely right. But I think the globalist lobby, where Israelis now openly become a, as we said, you know, a hit squad of the globalists, at least announcing their plan and let them go and run, and using, you know, America as, you know, their big, you know, hammer to crash and get what they want. The problem is we see for past 4 years, Europe basically completely committed economical suicide. And how are you going to push and prepare the population for the war? Well, make scenario. There is no job. There is a hunger. Where are you going to go? Well, if you adult man, you're able to grab the gun. You know, this is your gun. Go and fight. Where are you going to fight? Well, we're going to fight Russia. Why the Russia important? Well, we need to create scenario because I guess they prepare the plan. And accordingly, if we see how the Biden was, you know, stating this stage before 2022, and the Russia apparently, you know, strike first, they've been unprepared. But think of this, in this all what we're seeing right now, that the Russian position was really very restrained for only one reason, because I guess globalists expected way more, you know, stronger reaction from the Russian side, not the limited military operation or special military operation where we've been for past 4 years, you know, like, you know, hitting.
Well, you said
and
it. I
hitting,
mean, Putin,
fighting,
assess
you know.
That Putin assess he's dealing with inbred psychotic royalty that runs the unelected EU Commission, so, and dealing with a bunch of crazy Zionists. And so where does that go now? Because now Russia obviously got its finger on the trigger.
Correct. And the problem is, at least for the 4 years, idea of the Russian leadership was, finally, look, you've got to have some adult in that, you know, daycare who going to come and finally, you know, restrain these kids who start running and, you know, basically trying to burn entire, you know, kindergarten. That's what literally happening. Well, if this doesn't work, then we will see other reaction. But the problem is, again, the way to go to the full blown nuclear war is so short, as you said. It's not even, I guess, minutes. It's a, I guess, what, 5-10 seconds left. And here we are. We need at least responsible leaders who are going to say, hey, am I responsible before the God Almighty and before the nation for the future of a nation? Or I will follow up of sleepwalking and destroy everything, my country, everything I knew. And as you correctly mentioned, you know, if before I was convinced that at least globalist, what is their main purpose? They amass the money. And as you mentioned just recently, Elon Musk told them, hey, don't play with this. Otherwise, you will, you know, basically destroy everything you have, because this kind of conflict going to destroy all wealth accumulated. And here we now facing, apparently, yes, there is a reasonable logic for those who would think, yes, why they will go for the war, because this definitely will bring a destruction of everything they have. But apparently, if you go as zealots, those people who are having their eyes, you know, like a zombie, they now more, you know, believers than anything else, whether they believe in God or in Satan, you know, with them you can't argue anymore. And here the dilemma we've got. And I guess this is maybe first time in history of the humankind, because our technology in such level that if, I would say, 1,000 years ago, okay, any local war, you know, will not hurt majority of population. Well, then we used to see the First World War. Yes, it's affected, but mainly it's affected what? Europe, correct? A little bit of the Middle East. And then we see the Second World War. It's affected way wider, you know, population. But then the Third World War definitely will bring complete destruction to entire humanity. As a consequence of the, you know, this nuclear war, we will got a nuclear winter. There is would be no any harvest, no any sunlight able to go through. And then who will survive that?
Well, let's talk about that, because you mentioned it. There are about 480 big reactors, most of them over 40 years old, in the world. There are thousands of other small ones, lots of secret ones. In all the studies, in just a nuclear war between NATO, Russia, and the U.S., nuclear winter, several billion dead right away, and then the reactors all start melting down, bigger than Chernobyl and Fukushima combined. That rains down radiation far worse than the hydrogen bombs. That then gets into the southern hemisphere. You'll have also lots of people trying to break out and go south. It'll cause chain reactions, warlords, food giant collapse from the nuclear winter. And most estimates are within about 3 years, you've got a 90% or more world population collapse. People are worse than army ants in the, you know, clearing out the jungle when they're starving. I mean, we're talking about the gates of hell being opened up.
Correct.
And people don't understand that the globalists are all running to Tasmania and up near the Arctic Circle in Canada and building underground bases and admitting it. Peter Thiel's run down to Argentina, and that's pretty smart. And they're all like saying, we're done. And then the average person, like I said, thinks Russia's in Mars or something, or Iran is, you know, Pluto. And there's just this normalcy bias of most Americans. 80+% are against the war, 65% of Republicans are higher. But still, it's like it's a TV show they don't like. Well, I don't like that TV show. They don't, because they've had it good so long, like dodo birds. But you said something really important, and I want you to elaborate on, because it's true. The Israel lobby, the globalists, all of them have gone from denying all this stuff to now they just brag out in the open, and it, almost like it's a talking point. Why do you think they're doing that? I mean, because then when I watch them, and like I said, they have a real demonic glow to them. Particularly the Israeli leadership are like lit up like jack-o'-lanterns or something. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed that, and all their bizarre behavior. What do you think's happening there?
Well, I guess, you know, there is a shift in the universe, you know. Finally, we left the one huge zodiac cycle and entered to the another one. That's why revelation happens. They can't anymore hide it. They need to reveal it, you know. And this is where the, I would say, mystic come to the reality. And the problem for us that we have now, this merge of mystic with the reality. Everything the, you know, the scripture says, now we can see it's exactly like they mentioned. You know, step by step, we almost there. You know, we have all sides of the, you know, which was mentioned in the scripture, the final days, you know. And we saw the first, what you call, the horses of the
apocalypse,
you know, which they show in apocalypse. And this is the, you know, mystic side of it. And on the reality, as you said, we are in the comfort zone. As you said, this is, I don't like the show. Let me switch to another one. Unfortunately, you can't switch the reality. And this is an issue. So for us, either we awake and, you know, something is built with our eyes. We can stop it. We can do what we need to do. But then we need to find the courage. We need to ask, hey, to whom really power belongs? Or they've been, you know, basically keeping us in the dark for so long, playing with the democracy. Are we really have any voice? Are we really can influence anything happening? If not, then we're done. Then there is a little hope, unless there is would be resistance. But for resistance to form, I don't know what kind of the trigger can get this resistance to start organizing, start communicating, and start, you know, fighting the globalists as all unite resistance. But there is only way I see it. And unfortunately, we're living in this, you know, kind of the consequence of overtone, you know, what you call it, window, which was opened by the Star Wars. Basically, I guess right now this was a project exactly to prep us for this. And we are living in the right moment. We're living when the democracy on our sides, you know, transforming very quickly to the dictatorship. And this is a problem. How are we going to call? Whom we going to wake up? Whom we going to claim? Who cares anymore of revelation or investigative journalists? Who care what the people think of the politician? Who cares about the words? Because they now know how to manipulate any words. And we perfectly see them. And it's happening over and over again. Even these words, or even Trump came, not because really he've got enough ballast, but because eventually elite says, okay, let's you know, hit the brakes for a little bit, because Biden too quickly will, you know, push us to the wall. Let's bring the Trump, let him keep his foot on the, you know, stop pedal, on the brake pedal.
Or as Lavrov said, they wanted Trump in there to act like or believe he was trying to stop it so they could fool Russia into the long war. Because that's what if people don't know, the EU and NATO have all said over and over again, oh, we're going to have a 20 to 30 year war with Russia. They'll never go nuclear, and we'll just continually incrementally attack them till they collapse. And then we'll have the living space, the Lebensraum, and break it in five parts. And they sit there on TV and say it. And then that's not happened. So they just keep doubling down, doubling down. And we've got Mark Mitchell, who was the top pollster at Rasmussen. He left after he went to the White House and met with them and warned them. And he's got a secret project going. He promised he would come back here exclusively. He's not been on air in 6 months. He joins us next hour. Really smart guy. He's also been a CEO of major companies and is really good at predictions. He's going to be joining us. But, you know, some good news is, as I said, Laura Ingraham's a big establishment war hawk, all of it. She comes out and says the polls show Americans don't want this. Trump's going to lose. He better put the brakes on fast. And I see this with 90% of the Trump supporters I know, who are horrified about the Democratic Socialists and horrified by the Democrats, but understand this is existential with Trump. So again, the good news is 85% of the American people, 60-some% of Republicans, but we have to telegraph that. And then we have the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Huckabee, and I said that right, saying, well, yeah, we listen to voters. I don't care if 80% are against it. We know best. We're in charge. So at a certain point, folks, we have to restrain these people, and it needs to be nonviolent, because they're probably going to stage stuff and say anti-war people are violent. But at the same time, I'm now shifted into a mindset, because like Victor said earlier, used to we could expose them and get enough traction to stop them. And we did hold off the Israeli takeover of the military for now, though they're coming back. But my point is, this is too close. We have to debate and discuss how we turn the heat up. And if that means peacefully jumping on national TV shows and exposing the war, if that means parachuting into, I mean, literally pull stunts at football games to get a message out. And I'm not somebody that'll tell you what to do and then I don't do it. I right now, I've done plenty of stunts myself. I'm cooking some stunts up. And the stunts I pulled on the Clintons, they sent the CIA after me. But I'm now in desperate mode. My brain is now shifted into offense stunt mode. And we need to have some debates and discussions about that. Because we just, and to our military, I know all of you are against this, 99%. We have to do peaceful, lawful things. We have to do it now. Here's Laura Ingraham. I want Victor Boot's take on it.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November. Here to discuss.
And then we've got that full interview is coming up in the fourth hour. Guys, I think I sent it to you, but I didn't grab the full interview because she goes into it with her guest. So looking at that, what else can we do, Victor Boot, to counter all this insanity?
Well, we need to basically awaken everybody who is still asleep. And that's why they're able to sleepwalk us into this, disaster. And then, because we having this technology, which we never had, at least, 20 years ago, able to communicate with everybody. We can quickly spread the message among the entire humanity, what's going on. And then when the real resistance will form, we have to decide how we're going to restrain these crazy people who want to kill all of us. That's the issue. And once we realize that whether the Israeli population, those who are seeing it and don't want to see how this nuclear war will start, or, those Europeans who are seeing why on earth their country destroyed, damaged, population is replaced. There is no same life like they used to have. And as you said, sooner or later, the bias of normalcy will over, and then everybody be in the same mold like you, like me, who will say, hey, guys, we are past a long time ago, non-return point. The only way we can break before we have no opportunity to prevent it. And this only, prayer to God, and we will ask him to bring some wisdom to those who are taking decision. Otherwise, we all die.
I agree. The most important thing is to every day pray for God to move his hand. But also, God wants us to then take action and speak out, but trust in God to take us the rest of the way. Number one is pray to God, folks. Pray like your life depends on it, because it does. In closing, I want to play not the whole thing, I already played it last hour, but Smotrich is their economic minister. Similar statements by all their leadership. And let's just roll it with subtitles. And he's like, this is ideal. We got them in the war. Now we're going to keep them. It's going to destroy Iran economically. We're going to keep the strait closed. Go ahead and roll it with subtitles, guys, that clip, so people can read it on screen. And it's just insane, the open arrogance, how it's ideal. We don't have to fight. We don't have to die. They want a ground invasion. They want us to die. And he says it's ideal that we die. We pay for it. Who cares about the rest of the world with the straight clothes? It hurts Iran more. I mean, this is such a selfish, cold-blooded behavior. And even if he did it privately, he'd be evil. But the publicness of this, and it's just all over Israeli TV. I got to tell you, Victor, it's shameful.
Well, it's not only shameful, but it's exactly what used to be like reptilian mindset. Look at these people. It's definitely only reptilian have any feelings towards to other innocent victims and children. Those who gonna die from hunger. What their sins for? What kind of relation they have for their, ideas and desires to grab more territory or control the world? Hell no. I guess we are not anymore slaves. We have enough understanding and access to information and to history to really clearly see where it's all leading us. And so let's hope that we as humanity, I said, very quickly will self-organize to give a proper response to those who deciding that now we are just, basically like sacrifice that they're going to bring
us. Victor, I know you got to go, and Mark Mitchell's coming up. A two-minute break. I want you to come back and finish on that and give us a brief update on the ongoing NATO proxy war with Russia. Big developments there. Final segment with Victor Boot. Stay with us.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit KEPM.com
www.mattersweb.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I wanted to give big updates on Trump's speech last week about communist China that you and I have been detailing for years. The documents have come out, but even more, you have federal court documents that they've told you not to release, but you're going to do that.
There's a dirty Venezuelan software package that lets you steal elections. It was in Smartmatic, where it was called SAES, Smartmatic Automated Election System. They bought an American company called Sequoia, and they put it inside Sequoia, where it was called WinEDS. That dirty package got shifted, and it's actually inside Dominion. They call their system Democracy Suite. They've been denying like hell that they have WinEDS. I'm going to prove to you that it is in their system. What's happened now is Liberty has come along. Actually, Liberty is just a new name on Dominion. It's the same corporation. So that dirty package is still inside. Trump released this last Thursday night, the CIA document, summary of their own intelligence reporting, 04 to 20. Document 2, they talk about how they have had persistent concerns that Venezuela was developing systems to cheat elections. Well, they did, in fact, develop that software, and it was the WinEDS that I just walked you through. They are acknowledging that, yes, Venezuela developed this, and they've been stealing or trying to steal their own elections with it. Let's go to an internal Dominion email, which I'm not supposed to show anyone. This is from 2011. A guy named Craig Short, contractor for Dominion, is talking to Sherry Hadsky. You're going to see in a moment. She's the secretary with the Secretary of State of Louisiana. This is all about the WinEDS upgrade. Now, remember, you're going to see Dominion's come out and say, we don't have WinEDS. No, we never. That's all some junk from the past. But meanwhile, their internal emails, they're talking about upgrading their system. She says, hey, confidentially, if Democracy Suites, if this runs on Windows 7 and this WinEDS runs on Windows 2003, don't we need two servers? So she knew, and Dominion knew, that they were in fact still using WinEDS. And the guy confirms, yes, that we're going to need two servers. This is an email from Eric Coomer in 2020. He's running the elections in Chicago. He's writing a guy, Goran Obradovic, who's in Serbia. They're talking about setting up servers to process ballots as they come in. So this is a few days before the election. He says, 30 minutes, 12,000 ballots. We may have some timing problems. We can set up the cartridges to load overnight as they come in scare quotes, and then as they come in, meaning we're going to be uploading them, but pretending that these are ballots coming in from the field. We can then load them into the WinEDS. So here's Eric Coomer, the CTO of Dominion, acknowledging that WinEDS is being used in their system. He swore up, down, and sideways since then, as is Dominion, and he's saying our good Dominion machines don't have any of that WinEDS package in them. Here's a guy, Edmundo Rojas. You look on his LinkedIn. He's at Dominion Voting Systems, but he's also under contract as a senior product specialist to Liberty Vote.
Yeah, so they're rebranded. Don't worry, Republicans own it now. Everything's fine.
But here's another Dominion voting guy, again, writing to Coomer, establishing VPN connection into the virtual machines today to reach the county's electronic voting machines. And on the next page, our tablet arrives in Shanghai Customs. We're waiting for clearance. So the tablets you're voting on are actually going through Shanghai Customs, where China gets to edit them. This is all under what's Liberty Vote. Chinese-made equipment with Venezuelans who are all in our system, that Venezuelans here in the U.S. who are now working for Liberty Vote. You trace these Venezuelans back to the same university through Smartmatic and Sequoia, and now they're in different places running our elections in the United States.
The multinational corporate intelligence conglomerates.
Chinese, Iranian, Venezuelan, they're all in on it. It's one constellation of bad actors.
And it's the Democrats and the CIA, as you pointed out, contract people that hate us to do it, so they have plausible deniability. Oh, as they come in,
you get what's going on.
They preload the results before they come in.
What they really do is when they set up a Dominion server for some county, they set up next to it a second machine. That is the WinEDS machine. They run the election on this machine. All this stuff gets in. And what they're not telling anyone is it goes from the Dominion machine to this EDS dirty machine and then gets reported into the election reporting system. So before the results go from the county to the legitimate election reporting system, they're run through this WinEDS dirty Venezuelan software. They and only they even know it exists.
Add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
Ahoy, matey. Claim America's 250th limited edition silver coin. 1 troy ounce of 999 fine silver, forged to honor 250 years of liberty. Grab your treasure now and help keep us in the fight.
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jason Burmess. We got bombshell news via the Epstein case. So much going on in that case that you are just not seeing really anywhere. Mainstream, alternative media, it's moving at a rapid pace, but not towards the direction of what? Indictments, prosecutions, people going to prison. And that should be extremely alarming because as the focus sets on foreign policy, Iran, Russia, Ukraine, and rightfully so, and obviously this NDAA with Israel, which is absolute insanity, a lot of things that have captivated the public's attention and really pushed us to get some type of transparency. Well, that's waning, and that's extremely dangerous because all we have at this point is the court of public opinion, at least to successfully expose so many of these monsters that walk among us. So we're going to get into the Epstein files. We're also going to be talking about Google quadrupling their profits. Yes, Google, which is, you know, it's disguised as a private company, but when you go back to its origin story and where it is today, it is nothing but, instead, it is a Trojan horse civilian system that was literally erected out of NASA and DARPA money with InQtel CIA cash splashed in there. And now you have it as really the main technopoly. I know a lot of people talk about Apple. Well, you know, Apple has a ton of faults and I'm not here to defend them either. But when you look at Google, the number one search engine in the world, and Google's Gemini is now integrating with that search engine to be the great deceiver on any subject of true importance historically, Google's Gemini is abhorrent. It lies right to you. Now, if you already know your history and you can provide examples, it will admit that in about three or four prompts. But seeing as they're getting away from just a traditional search engine
and they're moving towards more and more narrative management, extremely dangerous. And then, of course, you have the second largest search engine in the world. That's YouTube, which also happens to be what? The largest video platform in the world. Meanwhile, this little magic box right here, about half of them throughout the United States and the world run on their operating system. The laptops no longer really run on Windows in the schools. They're all based on that same operating system. Really, the Chrome operating system and the Android operating system have merged. And that is just scratching the surface of what Google is up to. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the Fauci, going to be testifying with Rand Paul in the Senate. Now, again, I think this is extremely important because we need more on the record and we need to continue to win in the court of public opinion. Unfortunately, Fauci and his cohorts, they're going nowhere. They're not going to prison. It's very disturbing. In fact, one of the subjects that I don't think gets brought up enough with this second administration is the fact that they have not challenged this idea of a pre-pardon. I'm really hoping that Trump isn't planning on pre-pardoning anybody at the end of his second term because it is completely unconstitutional. The pardon is there for somebody that has been convicted of a crime, and we had this precedent set that still has not been challenged. I don't see anybody in the media really challenging it either, where you can just exonerate somebody of a crime they supposedly never committed, because that's what you're doing with Fauci. And yesterday, I revisited two very important interviews. We'll talk about them a little later on with Andrew G. Huff, the vice president, former vice president of EcoHealth Alliance, and really the main whistleblower. You know, we had more documentation, for instance, put out by Rand Paul, which was preceded by more documentation that was put out by Tulsi Gabbard in regards to Wuhan, Fauci, Collins, Daszak in particular. But the meat and potatoes, okay, the vast majority of that information has been out now for several years. In fact, those interviews, and I know that Andrew, I believe did an in-studio interview with Alex, that they're evergreen. They are as important today as they were 3 years ago. And no matter what happens in the next several years, they will be as important tomorrow as well, because they lay out this narrative of corruption and collusion amongst big tech, big pharma, and the military-industrial complex, especially agencies like not only DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, but also the Department of Energy, where if you know anything about the Department of Energy, okay, we're talking about human experimentation on a level that most of us can't even imagine. And that's just what's been admitted. Look up Bill Clinton having to come out with like a phone book size report, much of it a whitewash, because so much is still classified to this day. But he had to get up there and admit the United States had experimented on U.S. citizen and military personnel without their knowledge, and that some of it might not have been ethical. You think so? And that'll segue into what I really wanted to lead with, and we're going to just talk about briefly. When I talk about the Department of Energy, and people are obviously aware that it has to do with nuclear energy, but I don't think they understand and grasp the fact that it was very heavily involved in the Manhattan Project, which really denotated the way that you would have massive compartmentalization within these programs where most people had no idea what they were working on. Well, a lot of that was born out of a place called the Bohemian Grove. And right now, the Grove is in session. Again, barely any media coverage. This is local coverage about the locals being upset that their airport paths have been obstructed from all of these elitists and their buddies getting together at the Grove. I could find like one article, and it's the same old, there is no debate here. Bohemian Grove, merely a playground for male elite or shrouded retreat with global reach. I mean, is the sky blue? Not as much as it used to be. It should be bluer, but of course it's male elite with global reach. They were some of the people that drove the Manhattan Project, the vast majority of it, by the way, at the Grove and at the club. Okay. And then you've got Greet the Power Elite. Bohemian Grove protests return with museum show. And by the way, good for them, because there have always been a lot of locals that go outside of the Grove and protest AJ style. And props to AJ for being the guy that really broke this thing wide open and getting the cremation of care on camera. He also, I believe it was either last year or the year before, had those individuals that broke in and actually got finally high def footage of these people, where if somebody really wanted to do an investigation, you could point out which people are in what roles in their little druidic robes. Okay. And, you know, if you don't think that these people have power, again, we've known they have power. You just look at the names, or that they're creating policy or whatever. I've got a few books out here. First of all, this is the first annal of the Bohemian Club. I think they're at 11. I think I'm missing three. The latest one's really expensive. I have 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. I might be missing 8, and I think I have 9 and 10. Okay. This book's over 100 years old. Lays out their little club. And the funny thing is that it wasn't always the owl. They actually had a Buddha. There was always kind of like this druidic, occultic, pagan kind of theme for sure. But it was this guy right here. The long ago and the later on with, George T. Bromley. This is an original, in fact. I mean, you just look at the spine on this thing. One of the coolest things I've ever gotten, is the fact that it also, and it's stained here, this is a local, obituary for the guy. Bohemian's honor best loved man. I mean, it was in the headline of his obituary because he was their high priest. He's the one that brought the owl over. The owl's on the spine there. And they love the owl because, they have it as a symbol of, you know, wisdom. Here it is with the glasses on and kind of the sash around it, right? So it's supposed to be very wise, but it's also a predator. It's able to see in the dark. And if you didn't know, these guys are shrouded by a bunch of darkness. When we talk about the pagan regards of this, here's another really rare book by John Vandersee. They actually let him come in and write about this. It's tough to get hardcover, but you notice you got Pan down there as well. And Pan, Minerva, that's their shebango, man. And they've been into these things for a very, very, very long time. Of course, the very odd thing about the Bohemian Grove is these are supposed to be a bunch of Christian conservative leaders. And yet they're at this very, very odd, highly occultic pagan getaway that goes on for 2 or 3 weeks every year. And yes, they are setting policy in there. So I thought I'd kick it off there. I believe last year, during one of the weeks, got to host the fourth hour. If you're interested, I've done a full hour on this subject. I've broken out all of the annals. I've shown some of the pictures and the denotations, live on air. So that's out there, but we're going to move on to Epstein. And just this last week alone has had a ton of news that just, I don't see anybody talking about. First and foremost, it was now, I think, a little bit over a month ago, and we're having these hearings, right? A little over a month ago, that they had this hearing with Leslie Groth. And so many people are simply just not familiar with Leslie Groth. And she's essentially as important as, say, you know, a Ghislaine Maxwell. In fact, she stuck around longer than Maxwell. She was arranging all sorts of different meetings with Epstein and these underage girls. And, for instance, Jess Staley, he was just at the hearing, I believe it was the Oversight Committee yesterday. And they were asking him about some of the arrangements of him going to sleep with some of the girls that Epstein was sending over and whether or not that was actually consensual. You see, it wasn't always about blackmail and it wasn't always about underage girls either. They loved that. And Epstein himself, very much into underage girls. But at the same time, a lot of these girls would get groomed at a very young age to be in their, you know, early 20s or whatever. They get them for these modeling agencies, and then they use them not just to blackmail people, but to curry favor with them, like someone like Jeff Staley of Barclays and J.P. Morgan, okay? And let's not forget, J.P. Morgan paid out big buckaroos, big dollar signs, okay, to the victims that wanted to sign NDAs. So many of these institutions have ended up paying out, and there have been repercussions, as we're going to show you, at some of the charities and other institutions that were involved with Epstein, yet no criminal prosecutions whatsoever. Odd, weird. Kind of shows you how the system works. So you had this guy, Daniel Saeed, I think it was What Now, or What Something Modeling Agency, but he's involved with Epstein for over a decade. One of the victims talked about this guy introducing her to Epstein, knowing full well what this is. And this kind of speaks to the idea of what many of these modeling organizations really are. It's not just modeling organizations. It's the pornography. It's even low-level Hollyweird entertainment in the acting and music business. You know, some people will sit there and talk about, you know, Harvey Weinstein and the casting couch. But on another level, you know, a lot of these actresses or singers are pimped out. It's kind of grotesque. People forget the story of the Pussycat Dolls, where one of the singers just came clean and basically was like, yeah, no, the band was just like a high-end escort agency. That's what it was. And that's why they don't want to pull too hard on those strings, because these things have been going on for decade upon decade upon decade in this country and around the world. It's been normalized by this, you know, people are calling it the Epstein class. It's really the predator class. They do feel like they own you. And I mean, Epstein, they almost arrested him in Palm Beach when he was judging one of these beauty pageants. Okay. So when you look at that world, it's very much set up as a world where they can exploit profiteer, but also control male counterpart parts. Okay. Give you another great example outside of this. First of all, outside of Daniel Saeed, just want to say that so far they're saying that they haven't seen any signs of violence or anything like that with this case. Okay. You know, who knows? 69 years old, not trying to accuse anybody of anything. But Jean-Luc Brunel, he is somebody who was a high-level Epstein associate in the modeling world. And he ended up being criminally charged, of course, not in this country. And I believe it was in Spain where he was in prison and he allegedly took his own life. Now, he may have done that, by the way. I know very, very little about what went on there. But if you put somebody like that in general population and you turn your back on certain things that might be beatings or say some things beyond that, and then you give somebody that opportunity and say, hey, you know, we're gonna leave for a while. Some people may be looking at that as an out. I mean, even right now, you have that other ghoul that looks like Dracula. His last name is, it's Peter. And I mean, I don't know, Peter the Demon, Peter the Dracul. But he looks like he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And good. And that was a guy who what? Was also hell-bent on living forever and very much a part of the transhumanist movement, which is all over the Epstein files. But just quickly getting back to how many of these girls were controlled, I believe it's a 1980s or early 90s, 2020 or Dateline piece. And they're kind of featuring this other guy in that arena called Claude Hadid. And this is a pre-cell phone period. So one of the things that they would do, and by the way, in the Epstein files, He's still talking about recruiting teenage girls, some of them underage, into these modeling agencies. And there are a ton of redactions that have nothing to do with protecting the victims. I want to make that abundantly clear. It's all over the files. Okay. But what they would do is they would bring these 15, 16 year old girls over from the United States with promises of, you know, big money and modeling contracts and all these opportunities. And they'd get them away from their parents. And then they would put them into dorm like apartment buildings that they'd share with like 4 to 6 other girls, kind of establishing competition. Okay. Now remember, you know, there's a big time difference there. There's no cell phones. You know, you'd be able to make maybe one call a day if you were lucky to somebody. And they would bring these teenage girls to elitist parties and events and just be like, hey, you're going to go with that person. And if they didn't want to do it, guess what? They didn't get the job. They weren't kept around. So whether or not they were actually paid for it, they were absolutely also pimped out. That is unfortunately the world we live in. And unfortunately, you know, we've allowed somebody like J.D. Vance, who, you know, I guess you could argue is well-meaning. I don't think so. I think he's a very slick politician. I think he's coming from that Peter Thiel school where he's learned to kind of play every single side and appear to be libertarian. You know, he goes on Rogan. He tries to massage the issues of the Epstein files. Now, there's a ton of issues. I don't think that we're ever going to get all the files. I mean, they were heavily redacted, the ones that we did get, 3 million plus pages of documents. But then we find out there's, what, 3 million plus more pages of documents. And look, they lost. We're in a system that's supposedly a constitutional republic where we have the legislative, the judicial, and the executive branch. And the legislative branch spoke. And they said, you need to release all the files. And the executive branch said, no. They just said, nope, not going to do that. Now, what some people may not be aware of, in fact, I was unaware of this, except for, again, just keeping up on the case, is that you had a journalist actually sue and a judge say, yeah, no, this is completely and totally illegal. So ever since, I believe it's July 2nd, okay? So we're talking about, what, it's the 24th today? You know, over 2 weeks ago, this guy, here it is right here, a judge, Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, gave Todd Blanche till July 2nd to produce the unredacted Epstein files. And specifically, this journalist was just talking about a few redactions, but wanted them all, Katie Fang. Well, he's supposedly being fined $1,000, which is chump change for the military industrial complex and probably for Todd Blanche himself. But no one's talking about this. And no one's talking about the fact that New Mexico, their government is now, their federal government or their state government has now claimed that the federal government broke, their 2019 Epstein investigation agreement. Of course they did. No one's going to jail. These things have been whitewashes. They've been softball questions to the point where we already won, but they were able to primary Massey with a guy that I didn't see had any commercials, didn't do any debates. If you walked up to the average person outside of Kentucky, they're not going to be able to tell you who beat Massey. They'll know about Thomas Massey because they know about the Epstein files. So now we need a Transparency Act 2 to enforce what we already were supposed to get in the Transparency Act 1. Seems a little off. Not sure I like it. We got even more Epstein news than this that we are going to get into. Folks, I'd like to implore you. I'd love to get to 80,000 subscribers. The only way that I get subscribers or followers on any social media are doing shows like this one and saying, please come out and check them out. In fact, right now, the revisiting the Fauci factor, we'll talk about it a little later on in the broadcast, but it's a must watch. It's two of the most important interviews with one of the most important interviewees I've ever done. And Andrew G. Huff just says things in these interviews that I don't think have been established anywhere else. And they are bombshells. You want to support independent journalism? You can do so right now by going to ajnlive.com and they're the AlexJonesStore.com, getting the supplements, getting the t-shirts. I love having the hats on. I love making that conversation about real truth outside of this left-right paradigm. We'll be back after this.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, and we're going to continue talking about Epstein news. I mean, how much of that is out there right now, like I said, whether it's in the mainstream or the alternative, all those are stories that we need to be focusing on. Sarah Ferguson, for those who don't know, this is the ex-wife of Prince Andrew and somebody who remained very friendly with him even after their divorce, and was kind of like a pseudo member of, I don't want to say royalty because I'll puke in my mouth a little bit. The House of Windsor, please give me a break. Her charity has been shut down after they probed her links with Jeffrey. She's very friendly with Jeffrey Epstein in these files as well. And on top of that, I really want to put it out to their, that mentality. When I say that, you know, this is the ex-wife, you know, he was notoriously cheating on her at the time, but like they stuck it out. With who? Well, we know that Virginia Giuffre Roberts, you know, has accused him, and she beat him in civil court also, before her passing, of being one of the main abusers. So, and I, sometimes people will jump in and they'll talk about the age of consent being like 16 in European nations, and sometimes it doesn't make it right. These are teenage kids. They're kids. I cannot emphasize that enough, especially as somebody who, you know, is on the tail end right now of raising teenage girls. My two nieces, the one is 17, about to be a senior, and the other one who spent all summer with me, she's 15. I'd be over the top if a guy just the age of Andrew was anywhere near my niece. Forget about somebody with money and power and influence. I mean, disgusting. Disgusting. So look, Sarah, she's not going to go to jail. She's going to live a very, very cushy life. But at least her charity gets shut down. When you've got a guy like Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation, no, 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 no. And when I saw this headline, I think it was like 3 days ago, Gates Foundation exonerates Bill Gates of any wrongdoing with Jeffrey Epstein. I was like, is it The Onion? Is it the Babylon Bee? No, it's the real deal. So the Gates Foundation supposedly interviewed like 50 people. They've looked into it all. And old Billy Boy, Mr. Pink Sweater, not in a pink sweater there. He's suited up, for that one. He didn't do anything wrong. And again, I don't know whether or not Bill Gates was ever with anybody underage. I know that his foundation is extremely dangerous. I know that he is extremely eugenics-based. He should probably be in prison for a multitude of crimes. And I also know that even that relationship with Epstein has largely been whitewashed in the timeline, as there's plenty of evidence to show that that relationship was going on like late 90s, early 2000s. Okay? But once again, although we have a trove of emails, we also have a trove of emails and communications and pictures and video, you name it, that have been completely and totally covered up. One of the golden nuggets, though, you do get from the Gates testimony, and this is, again, why we want at least these the show that they're doing something. Right? That he's going to speak before the Congressional Oversight Committee. Cause you got a Department of Justice that came out and said there's no evidence that Epstein was trafficking these girls to anybody else. And yet again, they asked Staley about Epstein sending girls over to him. Just total bonkers town. The opposite of what they said. Said there's no evidence. He's working with intelligence. I mean, open mainline reports that he's being mentored by Douglas Lease of Iran-Contra fame and going into business with Stanley Pottinger, who's a lawyer for Iran-Contra, then it represents a bunch of the Epstein victims. Nothing to see there. And of course, he wasn't blackmailing anybody. And look, one of the photographs that leaked out without context, I don't know whether they put it out by accident or maybe it was in the wrong folder, but is clearly a pinhole camera of a dinner that I believe at the table is Ehud Barak and Woody Allen, amongst others. So, yeah, no, he's spying on people. He's recording things. But Gates admits that, you know, his relationships with these like 19 and 20 year old Russian girls was being held over his head by Epstein. That's called blackmail. So, I mean, the DOJ, as we know, the FBI, they have no problem just lying to your face. And that's why we have to have secondary bills to try to get what the first bill did from the legislative branch. It's out of control. And it really does speak to how we have to rein in this executive within an executive, that has basically become untouchable and the people that surround them. I think the arms dealing may be the key because in the past, it has at least produced some people going to jail with Iran-Contra, some people having to step down like Prince Bernard of the Netherlands via Bilderberg and the arms deals there. And, you know, I talk about Bilderberg, you know, Epstein had a guy like Jess Staley in his pocket for sure. And he's having conversations with his Bilderberg boy, right around Bilderberg for three years. In 1 year, he's literally got Mandelson. Epstein has Mandelson over his house just before Bilderberg, where Mandelson gets sent his quote unquote script for Bilderberg. And then the next, like 2 days later, while Bilderberg's going on and Mandelson has left that home, right? Epstein just, gives him a header that says inequality. Nothing else in the email. And Mandelson, like the good little weasel, the good little minion that he is, because you've got pictures of Mandelson literally in his underwear with some of these girls, having them put his socks on. He says, firmly on the agenda. Thanks, Jeffrey Epstein. And by the way, that was in 2012. And I was, Alex Jones was too. I was outside of Bilderberg covering that event in Chantilly, Virginia. I knew who Epstein was. We were reporting on him then. I had no idea that he had people on the inside of Bilderberg. In fact, another person on the inside of Bilderberg that Epstein had was the Crown Prince of Norway, Nick Bryant, who's the guy who got the original Epstein flight logs released and published, the original Epstein Black Book released and published. He just did a couple of Substack pieces, one of which talking about modern day arms deals that Epstein was a part of with that Crown Prince of Norway. And then you get to Staley, and you know, you've got these repugnant, I mean, Staley's accused of some bad things. You got these joke emails back and forth where they're talking about how Epstein likes to dress his girls up as like Disney princesses and things like that. All right. Again, is Staley going to go to jail? Is he going to be criminally invested? No. No. I wish, but he was just interviewed about those Epstein files. And the more we can catch these people in lies again to win in the court of public opinion, I think is extremely important. Last part of the Epstein stories, again, that you didn't hear all week that I think that are extremely important. Melania Trump files for sanctions against journalist Michael Wolff. Now, I've talked about this in the past. You know, I was one of the first people that was like, no, you know, Trump and him did have an actual relationship. Yes. They, you know, they were talking about whether or not Trump had ever been on Epstein's plane. And it does seem like, you know, Virginia Giuffre Roberts talked about that. Yes, absolutely. It wasn't in the public arena, but what was that Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein had actually flown on his plane. So that was never a question to me. I had never found any evidence that he was abusing underage girls. There was the story out there, and Michael Wolff is now being sued for that story. We'll see what happens with it. that Melania was essentially a model amongst many that was introduced to Trump at a party where he was angling for his third wife. Like, that's the big picture story. And I don't know whether it's true or not. We'll see where this court case goes. But again, I think it speaks to the type of circles that Epstein was running in. You know, I just mentioned Bilderberg, for instance, and arms dealing. Well, Epstein was a high-level member of the Trilateral Commission. He was also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Alex was talking about the World Economic Forum. Well, you just scratch and sniff a date in one of these emails. So I was going through the communications of Mandelson and Epstein regarding Bilderberg. And by the way, there seems to be some redactions there that shouldn't, certainly aren't protecting any victims. Let's just put it that way. And so I just was looking up the date before that, see if there were any other communications. And like in one day, Epstein is setting up two separate meetings with two different people that are heavily involved in the World Economic Forum via Europe. This guy was a real player. So just kind of, and I don't know whether there's any validity to this story. In fact, I'm hoping that there's not. But since we're transitioning from Epstein into Google and narrative management and then into Fauci in these final 13 minutes or so, I can only say this. I hope, just like the rumors that he was going to possibly pardon or commute Ghislaine Maxwell's sentence, that Trump does not commute R. Kelly's sentence. R. Kelly is another example of one of those big wins that people like myself, you know, I was talking about R. Kelly for years before, I think it was what? It was on Discovery or TLC. All these women and girls that had been abused by R. Kelly, they did this documentary series, and essentially it got very popular. That's what moved it into the arena of putting him in jail. All right? You think that state governments and federal governments didn't know who he was and what he was doing? You think Jay-Z, who did an album with the guy called Best of Both Worlds and toured with the guy, didn't know what he was about? I mean, guys, you know, Aaliyah, he basically bought off the family and married her when she was 15 years old, and he was, I believe, early 30s. Now, let's keep R. Kelly in prison. Let's do that. I'll be happy with that. Let's not commute any sentences. And I hope that that's just a smear piece on Trump, you know, trying to ride the wave of, again, his relationship with Epstein and being beyond what it was. With that being said, I want to talk Google really quick. I talked about them in the beginning, but right now there is this huge crunch for technology, hardware in particular, to be taken out of the hands of you and me, to making it unaffordable. I might have shown it before, but what I'm holding in my hand are two kits of RAM that when purchased, I think, you know, $150, $125 bucks each. Maybe closer to 150, not much more than that. Okay. That was 2 years ago. Technology usually goes down in price. At the very least, it remains kind of stagnant, but always ends up going down. This is over a grand in my hand right now. Okay. And it's not because there's some kind of actual shortage. You can talk about AI and you can talk about these data centers for sure. But there is now a lawsuit. Notice it's not a criminal case. Okay. It's a lawsuit in which they're pitting the top three, really there only are three manufacturers of RAM for collusion. They have an actual date beginning on, I believe, October 22nd, 2022. So in the run up to this whole thing where you can't afford it anymore and they're not going to produce it anymore and they're getting ready to end physical media in video games and all these other things, you'll own nothing. It's a license they can take away. They're doing so together. And it's not the first time big tech has colluded to do this. And they have to do it together because they realize if they don't, the other companies will make record profits. Well, now they're all making record profits. Props to Gamers Nexus out there. They've been doing some really good work and documentaries over the past couple months, but this week they released one on this very, very underreported civil suit class action case where they're reading the emails and the vendors are saying, hey, they're all coming to us with the same script before they squeeze this out. Sure looks like collusion to me. And when you've got the ultimate collusion tool, they just posted their biggest quarterly profit at $112 billion. Now, I want to move this into the case of narrative management because you don't see here that they actually just quadrupled their profits. So you know, somebody reading this, they might think, well, maybe they made $110 billion. No, this is four times more than they've made in any other quarter. So this is the original headline I saw. Google profits quadruple to $112 billion after, and the big, after investments into AI. It's all about, oh, how great AI is going to be. Trump's telling you, you can't fight the data centers. You better just get behind them. I think I'm going to be fighting my Beyond Track Trace database, agentic AI techno slavery, sir. Sorry, especially because you want to give it all the human resources, such as, I don't know, water. Forget about human. How about the biological planet resource of water? Just forget about you. And they want to take your ability to have low cost energy away. Geez, just sounds lovely. So I put this headline in just trying to find that article. Google profits quadruple. Remember, this is the number one search engine. It's not even anywhere. It acts like I'm asking about biblical prophets. And then if I move it forward to where I typed in the 112 billion mark, okay, yeah, it's there, but notice it's towards the bottom. Like, it's not one of the, see, I had to go down like three or four, and I had to have the 112 billion in there and profits. Yeah, it's about narrative management. It's not going to tell on itself. Okay. And speaking of that, you know, I want people to remember this headline. This was May 5th, 2020. Fauci, no scientific evidence. Coronavirus was made in a Chinese lab. And then, of course, we're about to have these hearings, and Rand Paul has released even more documentation where they all knew that this was a synthetic virus that was created in a laboratory. And it was done so not just in China, but in Chapel Hill. You've got the Manhattan Institute. You got involvement in DARPA, the DOE, you name it. EcoHealth Alliance, obviously. All there. All there. Well, now they got new spin. Okay. And I saw this clip, and we're going to play a much higher quality of it. But this is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong. Okay. On COVID-19 and a cancer connection. All right. Now this guy, I've noticed he's been in kind of like these pseudo, you know, non-mainstream news nation type outlets. And by the way, Chris Cuomo, they allowed him to be rehabilitated. Somebody that literally told you you weren't allowed to read the WikiLeaks document. He's allowed to. Where were the media? We're allowed to read them. You're not, they're classified. You're not allowed to read those documents. They're always trying to withhold information from you. So in this piece, Andrew Capo Cuomo's brother, little brother, I'm not even going to call him Fredo, but Chris Cuomo is trying to become the hero. And this guy right here is saying he's basically got medication that's doing better on cancer than ever. But now hear this spin right here. So we're just going to play it.
When you look in tumors, what are you seeing?
There's now evidence that when you actually biopsy the tumors, is of the spike protein inside those tumors.
From COVID.
From COVID.
And then there's what happened with Jim Johnson. In 2022, he'd survived his HPV-related cancer for 7 years, and he'd taken the COVID vaccine. Then his doctor gave him some shocking news. The cancer was back with a vengeance.
First person that they know of on the planet that had HPV metastasized onto his liver.
And they didn't know why.
Had no idea why.
This is why I worry when I'm now seeing 10-year-olds with colon cancer. I had a 13-year-old died in a clinic with pancreatic cancer. I'm seeing a lady who was very close to me who had a thymoma 30 years ago, never had remission for 30 years, got COVID, and now it's got metastasis.
So, what did we learn there? Now, first and foremost, they also try to slip in the HPV, never been proven to actually turn into cancer, but they love giving out those shots as well. Okay. Then you have the idea that somehow the COVID-1984 virus that barely affected children long term is now giving 10 and 13 year olds cancer. And they slip in that the one individual had just taken his hate and lie shot, but no. Can't be that. In those interviews that I did with Andrew G. Huff, and if you do one thing, please, again, go subscribe or just go watch the video and spread it. Revisiting the Fauci Factor. Two interviews, almost 2 hours of material. Before they came out with the hate and lie shots, okay, I was one of those guys that was saying, number one, this is going to be the only solution, and who knows if it's actually going to be a solution, but they're going to try to make you take it. And I would go back to something I learned right here at InfoWars and had been talking about at the time for, you know, almost two decades. The fact that the polio shots back in the day had something called SV40 in them. Simian virus 40 that was known to cause cancer in apes and other hominids. Well, back in the day, people won some lawsuits based on those shots and the SV40. In the second interview that I did with Huff, it had been somewhere around the media, but there was really nowhere that I can confirm it. They actually sequenced in, because remember, these were not traditional shots. They were printed with bio nano printers that actually Elon Musk helped create. It was Tesla's partnership with CureVac that created these bio nano factories, but they actually sequenced in SV40. Do you know how crazy that is? How disturbing that is? How most people have no idea about that, but now Chris Cuomo and others are going to gaslight you and tell you that this cancer explosion is really from the already bioweapon itself, the original bioweapon, you know, the one that they seeded and then they also conflated with the flu. So it was almost indistinguishable because it was a weaponized version of the flu. Again, extremely disturbing. And we got a long road ahead of ourselves. I mean, I don't know that we're going to get any type of criminal accountability. I think that we have to continue to win in the court of public opinion before that happens. And that's just what we've seen historically. I understand the frustration of people. I also understand the frustration of people that say that we can't vote ourselves or vote our way out of this. Again, another system that needs complete reform. We've got to get rid of all of the machines. We've got to get rid of any sense of mail-in ballots. I mean, we have a lot of work to do there and everywhere, folks. So in this final moment, I will ask everybody out there to please support this broadcast right here. AJNLive.com is where you can find it daily. And go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Get the products. Get the supplements, get the gear, and get out there and talk to people, okay? There is nothing more important right now or ever than to have real deep connections to those around you, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, to have discussions, to be human, and not settle for evil, not be apathetic. Okay? Empathy is our strength when we can actually act on it. And I'll leave you with this, guys. It is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. Please give me a follow on the socials. Go check out youtube.com/InfoWarrior. I absolutely love you guys. Thanks for spending some time with me, and I'll see you all on the flip.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.